This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
First week, get 100% of your money back. Awaken180weightloss.com.
Rise and grind, ladies and gentlemen. It's about to get bumpy. Time to attack and dominate. This is Morning Juice with Brandon Beam and Bobby Carpenter.
And here we go on a Wednesday, attacking and dominating our way to 9 a.m. every single weekday morning right here on The Fan. Brandon Beam, the General Bobby Carpenter, and of course our fearless leader and producer Mark the Shark. General, we've made our way right to the midweek. Last day of the week for Sharky. Coaster Bob time. He already blew past that. We got that coming up a little bit later on for us this morning. What's going on, man? Good to talk to you.
Hey, good to talk to you, Beamer. Excited to be in here on this little hump day, Coaster Bob day. Start of the rainy week. Yep. So we're supposed to have rain for the next 3 days. So not going to be the best weather coming up, but it's supposed to be nice on Saturday, so I'll take the rain here at the end of the week.
Hey, eat the frog in the middle of the week, and then you pop out the other side like Andy Dufresne, right?
Yeah, and whatever it takes, man. You got to be able to get it done. Yeah. So that should be good stuff. How was your lovely Tuesday, sir?
It was pretty good. Pretty solid. Can't really complain about it at all. William is in a much better mood yesterday than he was the day before. I told you he's got a lot going on with him right now. I mean, he's like growing like a weed. He's got at least two more teeth coming in. We got that happening. He's a little bit frustrated, like, because he can kind of say some words, and he knows what he wants, and he's like pointing, but he can't really communicate it to us. So he's got a lot going on right now. But I don't know if those teeth popped through yesterday or the day before, but he was in a much better mood yesterday. Walking around now, I mean, he took his like first real steps where he moved from like point A to point B, I want to say either on like Thursday or Friday last week. And then just, you know, 5 days later, it's amazing how much more he is moving and walking, like with more confidence, and he's getting speedier. So he's got that, like all he wants to do is walk. And then if you pick him up, he starts to cry because he wants to be on the ground. Like, it's just, there's a lot going on in there, but he had a pretty good day yesterday.
Did he walk a lot when you went to the zoo?
No. No, he did not.
Oh, really?
No, we had him in the stroller.
Just chained him to the stroller?
Yeah.
You didn't let him get out, or does he just like to relax a cab?
He really liked to relax. He was just chilling. And then there's like, you know, I mean, there's fences at the zoo, depending on.
Well, yeah, to keep the animals in.
Yes.
You out of the animals. So.
Yes, but sometimes if he's in the stroller, he can't like see over the fence. So then we'll get him out. And when we were hanging out with the monkeys, the Langer monkeys who were throwing, you know, food and other bodily parts and functions at each other, we let him get out, and he was like up on the glass, just kind of like shuffling, doing like the furniture shuffle.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, good. That's it's exciting. You just wait till he gets there and starts running around at the zoo, and then you just are chasing him. But he'll be exhausted. He'll probably run like 2 miles, and then he'll get in the stroller.
Well, then I'll have to run 2 miles.
Yeah. I mean, well, his run is a lot, probably more akin to your walk, because his strides are so short. So you got that going for you, Beam, but that'll be a nice little opportunity there for you. It's nice to see that the big fella's getting mobile and getting his steps in.
Mobile, agile, and hostile. That's what we are. And then I watched a lot of soccer yesterday. Watched some Champions League games.
Jacob Hester. That's good. From 3 to 6, he's like, oh, there's some good Champions League on.
Oh,
right
it was
now.
Great yesterday. City and Real Madrid was great. They drew 3-3, and then Bayern and Arsenal was a good one. They drew 2-2 as well. Watched the She Believes Cup over at Lower.com Field yesterday. Got a little taste of the Japan-Brazil game, and then locked into the U.S. team, and they had a nice victory in penalties. And the theme of the day yesterday was penalties, because Japan-Brazil went to penalties. U.S. and Canada went to penalties, so the U.S. wins the She Believes Cup. They go to penalties in that. And then the crew last night, it was good all the way until the final drop. Patrick Schulte gives up a goal in the first 2 minutes of the game. Ball is played back to him, Bob. He misses like the fake. That's a disaster. Tigres jump out, 1-0. You're like, oh God, that was literally a disaster situation. And they tie the game up 1-1. Then you go to extras, nobody scores, and then you go to penalty kicks, and the Crew advance on penalty kicks 4-3 to get them into the semifinals, which is something they've never done in team history.
There we go. There we go. So going to the semis here, maybe yep. go eat the dub, Beam.
Absolutely, man. So it was a pretty good day, robust day. Stayed up way too late watching the Crew game, but at least they won and they didn't lose. That was like an 11:30 finish last night for them.
There's nothing worse than staying up late and then your team doesn't even get the win. So at least you were rewarded for your dedication, sir.
Was rewarded for my efforts. We got an awesome show lined up for you here this morning. Got the draft coming up here in a couple of weeks. We'll do a dive into Mel Kiper's big board as to where some of the Buckeyes rank heading into the draft. So we'll get into that coming up here in our next segment. Adam Jardy, the Columbus Dispatch, he's going to join the program at 6:35 here a little bit later on this morning in about 30 minutes or so. We're going to talk some offseason Jake Diebler, offseason number one, got some transfer portals to navigate, got an associate head coach. How close were Ohio State to getting in contract negotiations with Coach Calipari? Lots of stuff to go over with Adam coming up here at 6:35 a little bit later on this morning. What would you do to get into Augusta National this week? We'll do that in the 7 o'clock hour. Some great Masters talk coming up. And then Bill Landis, who survived WrestleMania over the weekend, he's going to join us. We're going to talk some Buckeye football with him coming up a little bit later around 8:35. Before we get into anything else today, it is Wednesday, the 10th day of April, 2024. Time for Today in History.
Time to get smarter. Morning Juice presents Today in History. Here's your professor, Bobby Carpenter.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, a little rainy Wednesday, Bob. What do you got lined up for this morning, buddy?
Well, it is Wednesday, April 10th, 101st day of the year, 265 days remaining as we keep racking and stacking. Triple digits now. So we're cruising along. This date, 1837. Shark had on some white Nikes and a black robe. Halley's Comet makes its closest approach to the Earth. 3.2 million miles.
Pretty close.
Yeah, I mean,
in space-time continuum.
In the realm of space, that seems fairly close. I have no idea if that's actually close, but it's the closest it's ever been. This date, 1816, the federal government approves the creation of the Second Bank of the United States. They formed the first, it was disbanded, and now forming the second, which is the one that we've had with the U.S. Treasury since then.
Okay, I didn't know that was the second one.
Yeah, there were some people that were vehemently against it and repealed it. This date, 1872, big day for MLS, Dong Arbor Day. Mm. The first Arbor Day is celebrated in, do you know what state, Shark?
Oh.
What year did you say this was, Bob?
1872.
I don't know.
It's not a state that's associated with a lot of trees.
Oh, so I was going to say like an Oregon.
Oh. No. Like a desert?
Not desert. More plains.
Nebraska?
It is Nebraska.
All right.
I was going to say Arizona wasn't a state back then.
No, I don't think Oregon was probably a state either by that point. But yeah, Nebraska.
Interesting.
Yeah, so a state that would associate more with farming, grasses, not necessarily the trees. But
like
they
sharks sell grass?
Maybe. They can grow a lot of stuff out there, Beam. Whatever it takes.
Good soil.
On this date, 1912, the RMS Titanic sets sail from Southampton, England, Beam. It's the last time it would see shore.
Yep.
How'd it turn out for him?
Not very good.
But there is a picture of a naked chick that was hand-drawn by Jack.
Only like one of your French ladies.
Exactly.
French girls? French girls? For ladies. What does he say? French girls.
There we go.
I think.
Big day for PGA. This day, 1916, the PGA is established in New York City.
All right.
This day, 1925, one of the great American novels is written, one of my favorites of all time. The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald, first published.
More of an East Egg guy or a West Egg guy?
More East, I would say.
All right.
More East, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know the difference between the two. I just know that the light.
Where's the light at?
I think the light is on the west side.
Yeah, I'm on the east then.
Okay.
Definitely not a west sider? No, I'm an east side guy for sure. That's what I thought, but I wasn't sure about that. The green light. The illusions with that beam.
Mm-hmm.
This day, 1947, Jackie Robinson first joined the Dodgers. Doesn't make his appearance till what day, Shark? Do you know?
15th.
Good job. Makes his appearance on the 15th, but joined the team officially on this date. Say 1970. Paul McCartney announces, Shark, he is leaving the Beatles. Beat John Lennon to the punch. I'm going to break up with you before you break up with me.
Shark, can you So the acceleration of the breakup of the Beatles, we were talking about this yesterday.
Sharks kind of like our Yoko Ono, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. That's
or
not
wait,
true.
Is maybe that Jan.
I'm not sure. I'm a uniter, Bob.
So the three other Beatles, minus McCartney, wanted to sign with some agent who was bad news,
yes.
Right? And Paul McCartney said, nope, he not refused. Doing that, not going to do it. And so that was kind of an accelerant to the breakup, right?
They started suing each other. It got really ugly, and it was all about money because these guys got scammed for about 7-8 years. Most famous band in the world, most famous people in the world, and they, I'm not going to say they were broke, but they weren't making money. They were getting like 10%.
Wow.
And so they wanted to switch agents, and Paul said, the one you're switching to is not a good guy. You don't want to sign with him. And it ended up he was right. But, yeah, there was a lot of strife in that band at the end, unfortunately.
As always say, Shark, more money, more problems.
Right. Yes. That's why when I win the lottery, Bob, and become a billionaire, I'm not telling anybody.
I thought you were going to be, you'd give most of it away.
Yeah, no, I'm going to give a lot of it away. I'm not even going to tell my kids because money is the root of all evil.
Then they'd accelerate. Well, I don't say money is. The love.
The love of money.
Love and lust, Shark.
Yes.
The desire for that wealth, making money a deity in your eyes.
I'm going to give you and Beamer each $1 million.
Oh, that's
I appreciate
so kind
that, Shark. Then we'll retire with you.
That's right.
And Jan doesn't have to be Yoko anymore. Do you think you're Paul and Beam is John? And who am I? Am I back
you're
there on
Ringo.
The drum?
No, no, I'm definitely not Paul. I'm in the background here. I'm just the producer. I'm Ringo.
George?
I'm playing the drums. George.
This day, 1973, Led Zeppelin's album, House of the Holy, is certified gold. 1985, Madonna, her debut tour, the Virgin Tour, opens up. Do you know who her opener was, Beam?
I don't.
What you mean the opening band?
Yeah.
85? I don't know. Cyndi Lauper.
You would think it would be something like that. It was the Beastie Boys.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's a pretty diverse music taste right there.
Seriously.
And then this day, 1995, New York City. Banned smoking in restaurants with more than 35 seats.
It's so, all downhill from there.
As long as you're not really a bar, they banned smoking. Some birthdays today. Jim Bowie, born on this date, 1796. The American pioneer, died at the Alamo. Chuck Connors, born on this date, 1921. Played in the MLB. Played in the NBA.
Wow.
One of 13 people to do both. Starting to trouble along the way aside John Wayne, but most notably known as the Rifleman. And then, boom! Just like that, Mr. John Madden was born on this date, 1936.
Excuse me. I'm not the same crazy coach who used to storm around the sidelines yelling at the officials. I've learned to relax, and I drink light beer from Miller. You know that light's got a third less calories than a regular beer? And listen to this. Light doesn't fill me up. Besides that, light tastes fantastic. Oh, sure, there are a lot of other beers around, and you can drink any one you want. But let me tell you this.
Light beer from Miller. Everything you always wanted in a beer, and less.
As I was saying, I don't care what anybody else...
Boom.
Boom. Love it. I loved it. All the cuts you could have got. You got a Miller Lite commercial for
it. Great, from 1980.
That's tremendous. Then also, Dandy Don Meredith, born 2 years later in 1938.
For me to go to training camp next week would be like going to play a game of golf and not taking all of the clubs with me on the course. I don't like to play that way. So if I'm going to play, I want to take every club I've got and play as hard as I possibly could. In my own mind, my own heart, it wasn't enough to compete the way I would like to compete. For this reason, I am retiring. I have a tremendous amount of respect for this organization, and I talk with Coach Landry, Mr. Schramm, and Mr. Murkison. As far as the team is concerned, I obviously have made many, many wonderful friends and have some very close friends right now on the Dallas Cowboy football team.
What's amazing is John was only 2 years older than Dandy Don. John outlived Dandy Don by 11 years.
Wow.
I would have never guessed that looking at the two gentlemen. John Madden, not exactly the picture of health. Mel Blount, born this, turning 76 today, the Hall of Fame Steelers Hall of Fame defensive back. Ken Griffey Sr. turning 74 today. Steven Seagal, fire down below, turning 72. Singer Babyface turning 65. Steve Biscotti, the Ravens owner, one of Sharks' favorite guys. Mm-hmm. Bottom for Art Modell, Sharks' first favorite guy, turning 64. Bills special team all-star Steve Tasker turning 62 today. Mandy Moore, as we talked a lot about her yesterday.
We'll hear from her at the end of the show.
I can't wait.
I'm so excited.
She turns 40 years old. And the Klubot. Thought he was still playing, Shark.
He threw out the first pitch at the Guardians game the other day.
Nice.
He and Michael Brantley.
How many opening day pitches has he thrown?
Five.
Does that count as one?
Oh, he started five openers. I see what you're saying.
I thought he may have replaced Bieber for the opening day pitch.
Get him on the mound.
Too soon, Bomb.
No, it is too soon. The Klubot turning 38 years old. And some holidays observances today. We have the ASPCA Day, Encourage a Young Writer Day, Global Work From Home Day, Golfers Day, International Safety Pin Day, National Cinnamon Crescent Day, National Farm Animals Day, Hug Your Dog Day, National Sibling Day, Safety Pin Day, and Salvation Army Founders Day. And those are your historical events, your birthdays, your passings, your holidays observances for this date, April 10th, 101st day of the year, and 265 days remaining in this 2024.
Good job on that, General. As always, got the draft coming up here in a couple of weeks. Even though there aren't a ton of Buckeyes in the draft, going to tell you where they rank. Coming up next, Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there, and good morning. Right now, we're watching one crash on I-71 southbound. This is on the south side where I-71 meets 270. There is a crash that has the left shoulder slightly blocked off. Watch for that as you're heading southbound on 71. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with fan traffic.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Just a couple of dudes being guys.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
You're listening to Morning Juice.
Wednesday edition of the program, Brandon B, Bobby Carpenter, Mark the Shark. You excited for the draft coming up here?
Yeah, I mean, what is that, next weekend?
A couple weeks away. April 25th. Two weeks from tomorrow.
Yeah, so it's the last weekend in April. Mm-hmm. The spring game being earlier, and it's been that way for a while. To me, it was always kind of the spring game and the draft were kind of aligned. Maybe a week before, sometimes the same day, and now it's, you know, kind of 2 weeks apart. So I guess it gives a little bit of time to breathe. I'll get more excited about it after this weekend.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on with the spring game, and then after that, it's like, all right, all draft talk will be locked in and ready to go.
After you, as well as watch the spring game on Saturday, after you pour, you know, 15 hours of you watching the Masters this week as well.
I will watch some of the Masters because Tiger's playing.
Mm-hmm. Your LIV guys are playing.
The LIV guys are there. I listened to some guy on ESPN radio this morning driving in talking about how, you know, we haven't seen much of Jon Rahm because he's been on LIV. I'm like, well, tune over there and watch it. I mean, you get an opportunity. It's not like they're hiding it. You can find it.
Yeah.
It is broadcasted.
I saw too, Rombo this week. He obviously had his media availability, you know, being the reigning Masters champion. And he was talking that he wants LIV to go to a full 4-day tournament, like full 72 holes.
No, less golf is what you
well,
want.
Well, that's why everybody signed there. More money, less golf.
Yeah.
Less travel, less rounds. It was perfect for them. So we'll see
what
happens.
You can go play more. I mean, if you want to get there a day early and go play a round,
of course.
You can do it.
Yeah.
No one's stopping you.
You can do whatever they want, you know? So we'll see how he handles that pressure, being the reigning champion, wearing the green jacket at the Champions Center. We'll get into that a little bit later coming up here in the 7 o'clock hour. Tiger had media availability yesterday. Thought it was pretty good. Number one on the big board from Mel Kiper as currently comprised. And I don't think he doesn't change the big board as often as he does his mock drafts.
Yeah.
That's pretty, you know, lock steady what he's got.
Oh, because the big board is a sheer ranking of talent.
Yeah.
Of how good you feel every player is without respect to their position. The mock draft takes into account needs and where teams are at and, you know, position rankings and all positions as far as positions of impact. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there that goes into the mock. As far as who you think is the best, well, that's a lot easier to do.
Caleb Williams, number one. Jaden Daniels, number two, quarterback out of LSU. I saw that he just had his visit, like official visit with the top 30 visit, I think they're called, with the Washington Commanders yesterday. Obviously, they have a very high pick, so we'll see what happens where Jaden Daniels goes. Drake May goes, yes, they do have the second pick. Then the Patriots have the third pick, Cardinals four. And then I think the Chargers currently have number five as well. Marv is number three on this list, on the big board behind the two quarterbacks. Marvin said, or not Marvin, Marvin didn't say this. Mel Kiper said, I have an elite grade on Harrison, whose name should be familiar. His dad, Marvin Harrison, whom I scouted at the Combine in Syracuse in 96 and is now in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The younger Harrison is on track to be my highest pre-draft grade for a wideout since Calvin Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald.
Ooh, those are good ones, because those guys are Hall of Famers.
Yeah, that's a pretty good two-pack of names to be by. Harrison is everything from outstanding size, stellar hands, to incredible body control and blazing speed. His dad ran a 4.33 40-yard dash before the 96 draft, but was just under 6 feet when the Colts took him in round one. Harrison Jr. is 4 inches taller and could have similar speed. Then he goes on to list his stats. So Marv coming in at number three on the big board. Now, that is the only player to appear from Ohio State in the top 25 on the big board.
I think that's as expected.
Yeah, top 25 prospects for Ohio State. Now, we moved more offense. Cade Stover ranks as the number three tight ends prospect in this player pool. You have Brock Bowers, who I think is the overwhelming favorite to be number one off the board for the tight ends at number one. Jatavion Sanders at Texas, and then Cade Stover locking in there at number three. Defensive tackles, Michael Hall ranks number seven in the entire class.
I think both of those things sound pretty accurate. Cade can block, he can catch, he ran a lot better, I think, than people anticipated. He was productive at Ohio State, even though maybe he had five games without a target. He's still a Mackey Award finalist. Or a semifinalist. Played really well. Position versatility, played defense, played defensive end, could do a lot of different things. And then Mike Hall, his main issue is going to be how people see him. He's not the biggest guy in the world. He did weigh over 300 pounds on pro day, moved well, ran really well.
Yeah.
It's a function of his injury history, too, and the inconsistency in production. He had a lot of peaks and valleys. Had games where he played great. Had games where, you'd say he kind of disappeared. Had some injury history. And, teams are just going to be cautious about that. And every team's going to value that stuff differently. And so it just depends on a team that maybe likes his upside and isn't scared away by the injuries. That'll be a team that will most likely take him high.
And then you've got one more remaining for the Buckeyes. That would be linebacker Tommy Eichenberg clocking in at number 10 for an off-ball linebacker in that department. He's also got it broken down into outside linebackers as well, kind of the edge, outside type.
Yeah.
But off-ball linebacker Tommy Eichenberg ranks at number 10. Those are your four Buckeyes that have only, again, there aren't many to choose from here, because we know that it is a small player pool, quote unquote, for the Buckeyes heading into this draft.
It's very small.
Yeah,
I would. Yeah, they got those four guys. Probably, I would say Steele Chambers will get drafted. I think Xavier will get drafted as well. Outside of that, I'm trying to think. I don't know if there'll be anybody else that maybe Josh Proctor could get drafted too. Shark, thank you for paying attention to the program like you always do. Because I want to tell everybody about my friends over at Affinity Whole Health. They're the leaders in the testosterone hormone replacement therapy industry. They're fantastic. They've been here in Columbus for a while now. They're established. They're very reputable. And I've been working with them for years. Affinity, you're going to get everything. You get dedicated patient care coordinators, Allie and Jamie. They're fantastic. They're available to help you with your scheduling, placing orders. They'll answer all your questions. They ship fast. There's never a delay with Affinity, so you don't have to drive to their office for your treatments. You can ask about their TRT and combining it with peptides, semiglutide for weight loss. They'll customize a plan that fits your needs. I added peptides in about 7-8 months ago, and I've been feeling really good because of it. So get started at feelgreatcolumbus.com. That's feelgreatcolumbus.com.
Adam Jardy of the Columbus Dispatch. He's going to join the program. We'll talk some off-season Buckeye hoops with him next. Morning Jupes right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and happy Wednesday. We're watching one crash clear up on the south side. This is on I-71 southbound, just beyond that 71-270 split. The left lane slightly blocked off over there as crews work to clear up a crash. Again, that's on I-71 southbound. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with fan traffic.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you can find a show that's closer to Buckeye football, it would be hosted by Ryan Day. You're listening to Morning Juice.
Wednesday edition of the program, Brandon Bean, Bobby Carpenter, Mark the Shark. Right now we're heading out to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Check with our good friend of the Columbus Dispatch. He is Adam Jardy. Adam, thanks so much for the time, buddy. A lot going on here in Buckeye land. John Calipari. Could have been Buckeyes coach. What's going on with that? Thanks for the time, Adam.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me. Yeah, it's funny how, you know, some of these things kind of trickle out over time. And I had heard right around when Diebler was being officially announced as the head coach that it turns out that, yes, John Calipari had reached out and was interested in the job. Ultimately, it wasn't the right fit, or, you know, whether that was from a you know, just how does that work at Ohio State, or whether that was a financial situation, you know, that's, I don't know the specifics on that regard, but there was genuine interest there on Cal's part.
Well, how much of the financial element do you think played into that, given where the buyout with Chris Holdman and what they're paying Diebler versus what Calipari is allegedly getting at Arkansas versus what he was getting paid at Kentucky?
I mean, I've got to think it played a role for sure. I mean, when you look at, just look at the bottom dollar or the bottom line and look at how much different people are being paid and how much money is being exchanged on both sides here. I think that probably had certainly something to do with it. I wonder, obviously you're Ohio State, you want to get the best coach that you can get. And I think they got a great coach in Jake Diebler. You do wonder about like the fit of somebody like Cal at Ohio State. I mean, we saw him and what it was like for him at Kentucky his last, you know, 2-3 years or so. He didn't have the greatest relationship with the football program. And, you know, how does that play at Ohio State? It's a fascinating thought. What would that have looked like if he was at Ohio State? How does that fit? Been a little like, I don't know, Noel Gallagher trying to join Paul McCartney's band. Like, you know, you can't upstage the main guy. It'd have been a fascinating case study for sure.
I mean, and today in history, I don't remember what year it was, but Paul McCartney announced he was leaving the Beatles.
1970.
So it all kind of fits in. If you were covering Kentucky basketball and you saw John Calipari walking his dog in a stroller down the street, would you have tried to get a one-on-one interview with him in that situation?
I don't know. I try to be respectful of people's private lives, and I would probably walk up and say hi. But I don't know if I'd try to get an interview. That does seem a little strange, but it's Kentucky basketball. I mean, it's their Ohio State football, so I get it.
Yeah.
Why did he have the stroller? What was in that?
These are the questions we need answers for. And frankly, I'm trying to get some of those myself because I would love to know what was in that stroller.
The dog was walking next to him, unless he had like an older dog in the stroller that he was walking. He's got two dogs. My mind, it wasn't necessarily just the guy going up and asking the question. Like, yeah, I kind of get it. You see Cal walking, you want answers. But at the same time, it's like, what was in that other stroller? Because the other dog was walking beside him. So I'm with you, Adam. I don't really understand that. It's been a busy offseason so far. Assessing the transfer portal for the Buckeyes. Few guys out, a couple of guys in, at least one with Michi coming back, the return. Just kind of assessing the early parts of Jake Diebler's first offseason here as head coach of the Buckeyes.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly some turnover, and you expect that. I mean, that's nobody gets through the offseason unscathed at this point. And I think, you know, you do lose some useful pieces at this point. I mean, I really like Roddy Gale. Thought he could have been you know, really good four-year player at Ohio State, and I think that one stings a little bit. And certainly Scotty Middleton and Zed Key have you know, their attributes that were helpful to Ohio State. And I mean, Zed's a four-year guy, and you know, Ohio State I think matters to a very great deal to him. So I think, you know, it hurts to lose those guys for sure. I think landing a guy like Michi is a really solid start, and I think it does tell you a little bit about the kind of players that they will be targeting, and you know, what sort of things are important to them, because Ohio State matters a great deal to Michi Johnson and his family. And so I think that's a guy that it will matter significantly to him to get to go out and wear the scarlet and gray one more time and have a final season with the Buckeyes. I think that stuff will be important as they identify players and patch some holes that they have now. Because there's still a lot of work to be done, and there's still some roster spots that need addressed and some situations that need fixed on this roster. So we'll see how it ultimately shakes out. But I do think landing a second team All-SEC player who happens to be from Ohio and loves the university, it's a pretty good start.
Does that make the situation of Michi transferring out in the portal the first time more perplexing, Adam, as you see his now return? And how much does this ultimately have to do as well, not just with getting his talent back, but potentially his younger brother?
I don't know. It's actually his cousin.
Her cousin, sorry.
Is the recruit. I it certainly doesn't hurt. And I just think, you know, we're gonna see more of this as this transfer portal era continues and NIL era continues. Like, you know, guys are gonna find situations. They're gonna go back to places. I mean, it has happened at a few other schools. And I mean, Tanner Holden left Ohio State, went back to Wright State. Like, I think we're going to see a little bit more of this going forward for sure. It is a little bit strange. I do think in this case, the fact that there was a coaching change, that certainly plays a role in it. But yeah, it's just another reminder to embrace the chaos, I think, that is roster construction in college basketball right now.
Hey, Adam, it was also announced the other day that Ohio State hired Joel Justice as associate head coach.
Joel.
Yeah, Joel. I don't know. Maybe we'll get a phonetic pronunciation guide when that comes out here. It's a second assistant on his staff, along with Dave Dickerson, coming in with Ohio State. Just your assessment of Joel Justice and what he brings to the table. I saw Shai Gilgeous-Alexander put the clapping emoji when it was announced. So, like, that's got to be at least a good thing.
Yeah. And you go back and you look at his track record and you look at some of the high level players that he has recruited and helped develop. I mean, he's put several number one picks in the NBA draft. You know, he seems to be very well regarded by just about anybody that has worked with him. He's been on like best college basketball people under 40 lists, like in the last couple of years. You know, he seems to have all the things that you would want in an assistant coach you can bring in. And not only impact the game plan and things like that, but he's clearly a high level recruiter, and that's going to be really important, because as much as Jake Diehl loves to recruit, and he's talked about that, he's not going to be able to recruit quite as much as the head coach. You just have more responsibilities. You're going to have to delegate some of that. So I've felt that, you know, finding guys that can help pick up that slack are critical as he builds up his coaching staff. And now you get a guy who can do that, has been at some high level programs, just made a Final Four. There's a lot to like so far about what this guy brings.
Quickly, you talk about, you know, obviously having some losses in the portal, have some guys that you need to bring in. What specifically do you think they need to add position-wise, player-wise in the portal?
Well, I think they need to add some shooting. You know, I mean, I don't know that you're going to go out and find another Jamison Battle, but you need to find someone who can consistently knock down threes. We saw how impactful that was for Ohio State this past season, and I think that's critical. As they address a couple of other spots, I think they need a stretch four, and that seems to be high on the list of priorities. I think they would like to add another big man, and they're going to need another guard, I think. So I think you probably start there, see how those moves develop, and see who you know, kind of makes themselves available. Does that have a ripple effect? Does bringing in somebody force somebody out? Like, at this point, I'm not expecting anyone that's expected to be on the roster not to be on the roster. So, you know, I think you're looking at the guys who have transferred or entered the portal are the guys who are going to, and right now they're keeping everybody else, but you could always lose somebody when you bring somebody in. So we'll see kind of how that unfolds. But yeah, I think a stretch four, a center, and another guard, that's high the list of priorities, and preferably a guy or two who can shoot the ball.
Before or after the next solar eclipse in Ohio in 2099 that the Big Ten wins a national championship?
Oh man, at this point, it's hard to say. I'm gonna take the before and just play it safe. But man, they've run into some really like generational type of teams in this run too. I think all of those eight losses in the title game are all the one seeds. You know, you like Ohio State's loss comes to a generational Florida team that returns everybody. You know, obviously what happened the other night, like, you know, you get there at some point, you're going to break through, but it's tough to watch sometimes. It's tough to think about.
It is. And UConn, just that perimeter defense was stifling on Monday night against Purdue. Buddy, always appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on with us here this morning. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll check in again soon, all right?
All right. Sounds great. Thanks for having me, guys.
There he goes. Adam Jardy of the Columbus Dispatch with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline.
It's a real Jim Morrison situation, Beam. Mm-hmm. Just
break on through.
The
other side.
We're less than a week away for tax season. There's still time. So if you own a business, medical practice, or have complicated tax returns, pay attention. I want to tell you about Brad Hennebert from Premier Tax CPAs. Brad, he's from Central Ohio. He runs a successful business out of Westerville, and he's the guy you should call for your business accounting needs. Premier Tax CPAs, they're not a tax time CPA firm, someone you just want to talk to here in Q1 of that given year. Brad and his team, they will work with you throughout the year so they can actively advise you on strategy and planning needs and how best to handle all of your financial decisions. So call Premier Tax CPAs at 614-524-4888. That's 614-524-4888.
Derrick Henry was always going to land in Baltimore. That and Quick Hitters next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. Right now, a crash we were watching on I-71 southbound has cleared up, but we are watching slow-moving traffic on the southeast side on 33 westbound coming in from Canal Winchester. We have you clocked going as slow as 19 miles an hour in those westbound lanes. Keep that in mind as you are heading in from the southeast side. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with Fan Traffic.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hash browns and smackdowns. You're listening to Morning Juice.
We here on The Juice are brought to you by our good friends over at Affinity Whole Health, the leader in testosterone and hormone replacement therapy. You can always visit them on the line at feelgreatcolumbus.com.
Morning Juice presents Quick Hitters.
Sharky,
yes.
Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday to you. Oh, wait. No, it's only Wednesday.
Not for
it's
you,
Coach Bob time almost.
It's a Friday for you, a vacation Friday.
It is. It is, Beamsy. I'm looking forward to my...
Are you off tomorrow? I thought you were off Friday.
He's off Thursday, Friday, and all buddy. Next week.
Yeah, I'll see you on Monday, the whatever.
Monday of draft week.
Something like that. I'm going to miss you guys.
You can't even say that with a straight face.
Let's get into some quick hitters. We finally heard from John Calipari yesterday. Not a press conference. Instead, he sat down on his living room couch and videotaped himself explaining his decision to leave Kentucky.
This is a dream job. It was my dream job. Anybody in our profession looks at the University of Kentucky in basketball and said, that is the bluest of blue. The last few weeks, we've come to realize that this program probably needs to hear another voice, that the university as a whole has to have another voice. The fans need to hear another voice.
Beam, I sure hope Fish doesn't say after a few more years that Morning Juice needs another voice besides yours.
Yeah, right. I painted the duck blue because I've never seen a blue duck before. The way that he really emphasized the word blue there, it was something that we've been talking about with John Calipari's pretty surprising departure from the University of Kentucky, heading to SEC for Arkansas with this. Bob, but you had mentioned this yesterday, like sometime the voice just gets stale and it doesn't matter how good that you are. And that's what makes, you know, these resumes and these long lineages of coaches being at a program for 40 years so impressive. I know that Coach Cal and Kentucky had flamed out of the tournament earlier than expected the last couple of years. Like, I understand that there's a lot of pressure being a blue blood, being what comes along with the University of Kentucky and their basketball program. And sometimes the voice just gets stale. And he's pretty open and honest about that, that, you know what, it was time for me to go a different direction.
Well, he'd been there for 15 years, won a title, been to four Final Fours, but recently he hadn't been good. And, you know, we talked on XM yesterday with I was on with Jacob Pester, some folks from Kentucky were pretty dialed in. Like, you know, he lost some of the big donors. They kind of, they're like, Cal, what did he say? He's like, when he's winning, like, he's in, it's his enthusiasm's great, but when he's losing, it wears on you. Mm-hmm. And not that they've been losing, but they've been bowing out the last 4 years early on. And it just kind of had worn on people. You know, just his personality. He was going to do it his way. He's Frank Sinatra. Didn't want to listen to anyone else. Had a strained relationship with the AD. Him and Mark Stoops, the football coach, didn't get along at all. And so it seemed like it was probably just a matter of time for him to move on. And the losing exacerbates that.
If you thought your favorite NFL team actually had a chance to sign free agent running back Derrick Henry, you were wrong, unless your team is the Baltimore Ravens. King Henry appeared on the Jim Rome show and said the Ravens were always his top choice once free agency got underway. Quote, for the record, Baltimore was always my number one option. That's always where I wanted to go, unquote. And you know what, Bob? That seems like an ideal landing spot for Henry.
Well, they pound the rock in a multitude of ways. It should be a good landing spot for him. I feel pretty confident in this. It should be a good decision. I think the Ravens are going to be good. They're a team that wins. He wants to win. Checks a lot of boxes for him. He doesn't have a ton of time left. He's an older running back, so you want to make sure you're going to be utilized in a good way and have a chance to win. Boxes checked.
They are so good at running the football. It was the, I feel like, on a short list, and if they were able to do it with the cap constraints of signing Derrick Henry, which wasn't going to be a lot, but they were able to get it done. I mean, what he can do in that offense, given his age, given the wear and tear on his body, like, yeah, they like to do it. I mean, Lamar can run around, obviously. They like to run by committee, too, over there in Baltimore. Now, they've had some injury issues over in Baltimore over the last couple of years, a lot of injury issues in their running back room. But still, I mean, it's a grand slam home run. When it was announced that Derrick Henry went to Baltimore, I'm like, yep, that kind of makes sense with the way that they doctor up the playbook and they like to rush the ball.
Drawing 10 million viewers for a sporting event is a big deal. Not so in the NFL. In 2022, a Christmas Eve game between the Patriots and Broncos drew 10.2 million viewers on NFL Network. On Christmas Eve 2023, a Raiders-Steelers game drew 10.9 million viewers on NFL Network. The league draws many more eyeballs on Christmas Day. Christmas falls on a Wednesday this year, and we will get two NFL games. But Beamer, Pro Football Talk says the NFL has confirmed there will not be a Christmas Eve game this year.
All right, so that's pretty against the grain. I mean, they're looking at the numbers. They're smart guys. They're looking at accountants, and they're looking at TV ratings and looking at their partners and saying, okay, this really didn't work. What was the Black Friday ratings on these games? Remember, that was like 42 million or something crazy a couple of years ago, whenever the Cowboys were on, like in that primetime spot. Like, they know, they understand. More TV windows for the NFL is usually a good thing. But if it doesn't draw, then they're not going to go back to those wells. And with that being Christmas Eve on a Tuesday this year, that is already a significant challenge that it presents itself. They wiped their hands clean. They said, we'll get back to it probably in 2025.
I don't think it has anything to do with eyeballs. They'll get eyeballs on Christmas Eve. It's 10 million people. That's not bad. It's a function of trying to play a game on a Tuesday, I think, is atrocious as far as logistics. Wednesday is going to be hard. Thursday's one thing. Monday's one thing. You start getting in Tuesday, Wednesday, you're jacking up 2 weeks. It's too late to build a bye week in the season after or before those to make sure they have enough requisite rest. So it's going to be a tough situation, and that's ultimately the game of football. You can't just play on any day of the week because you probably need at least 4 or 5 days on the short end to recover.
Yeah, absolutely do. And not to mention that point of the year, like, that's crunch time too. I mean, those are critical games that are being played right down the stretch of the regular season. Where does Ryan Day rank in the country for college football coaches? We'll do that in the re-rack coming up next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. We're watching a wet commute for your Wednesday and definitely some slow spots out there, including on 33 westbound on the southeast side. Also on I-70 coming in from West Jefferson. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with Fan Traffic.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
News.
Beamer has a very punchable face, so Bobby punches it. This is Morning Juice.
Hour number two of the program for us on a Wednesday. Brandon Bean, Bobby Carpenter, Mark the Chart coming up here. 7:20 this morning, coffee with the coach, Pascal Vincent. 8:35, Bill Landis back from WrestleMania, managed to survive. Not sure about Austin, if he survived. Anyways, Bill Landis, he's going to join the program coming up here around 8:35 a little bit later on. We'll talk some Buckeyes, getting ready for the spring game with him later on this morning. But before we do that, I've got to put my slider up.
Keeping you informed about what's trending this morning, it's time for a little re-rack on Morning Juice.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus, your destination for top-of-the-line grills with up to 30-year warranties. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
Jackets lose last night at the Lightning 5-2 at the Panthers tomorrow. A lot of soccer yesterday going on. Me and your boy Jacob Hester were watching some UEFA Champions League.
Why not?
So that was good, right in the midday. Those games started at 3 o'clock, ended at 5. Then I jumped into Japan and Brazil that was being played over at Lower.com Field. That was a third-place match in the She Believes Cup. Watched some of that. That went into penalties. And then that would be the theme of the evening as well. So the USA and Canada, they were also playing in the finals of the She Believes Cup here at Lower.com Field. A great attendance last night, too, by the way, like 19,500 or something like that. So super close to a sellout. Got a riveting game. 2-2 was the final score. They go to a penalty shootout, and the U.S. women's national team defeats Canada 5-4 in the shootout. Listen, they are great. Awesome to see that. After the Sweden game, I feel like she really kind of turned things around a little bit. So that was awesome to see. So that's two penalty shootouts already, two of them being in Columbus, and then the other one was reserved for late last night because the Crew were in Monterrey, Mexico, taking on Tigres in the quarterfinals of the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Disaster start for them. Just absolute disaster. Ball gets played back to Patrick Schulte, who's really good from playing out of the back. Like, that's his style. That's what he does. And whiffs on the ball. Ball just slides right past him. Tigres pounce. And they're up 1-0 in the first 2 or 3 minutes of the game. You're like, well, that at least you got the goal out of the way early if you're going to do anything. Like, you got 87 minutes to find another goal.
Yeah, why not?
You know, fast forward to the 50-something minute. Cucho plays a ball in. Mo Farsi kind of messed up on this, like, flubbed his shot a little bit, but it fell right to Diego Rossi. Ties the game up at 1. Game is tied heading into the 90th minute. Okay, cool. 30 minutes of extra time. Can somebody find a winner? Nope. All right, we're going to go to penalty kicks then, which, again, for the third time last evening, I'm watching penalty kicks. And this is about 11:20 when penalty kicks started last night.
Ooh, that's a late night, Coach.
Yeah, it was a late night.
That's back-to-back late nights for you.
I know it is. I'm struggling today, but that's all right. We'll move forward. We'll be okay. As long as William gets a nap today, I think.
What if he doesn't want to take a nap?
Then we're all in trouble. Then nobody's going to be a happy camper. So it goes to penalty kicks. Patrick Schulte just stalwart, man. To go from the moment that he had in the first 2 minutes of the game to making some incredibly high-level saves as a 23-year-old down in Monterrey against that team in a knockout round, saves the first two penalties. Like, boom, boom,
that's tough.
Right out of the gates. One goes left, one goes right. He's all
snip,
over the
snap,
place.
Snip, snap.
Yeah, he was remarkable in the shootout. And then Cucho had a chance to win it as the fourth penalty taker, misses it, hits the post, bounces out.
Your hero, your champion,
baby. I know, that's our champion. Tigres come back, make their fifth penalty, which then sets up a win or go home penalty, or, well, I should say win or go on to the next round, get slotted home. The Crew are a 4-3 winner in the penalty shootout to move on to the semifinals of the Champions Cup. And if you're asking yourself, well, why is this important? This is the first time an MLS team has ever beat a Liga MX team in Mexico in a penalty shootout, ever in the history of the competition.
We're going to probably qualify for the Champions League next year.
That's right.
Once they win five more tournaments on their way over the next 6 months in various locales around the world, the Crew will be playing
in the Club World Cup.
Club World Cup against Man U, Man City.
Well, Man U's not good enough, but yeah, City, Real Madrid.
Why not? Real?
Your guy, Kylian Mbappe.
How about the Saudi teams? Did they get a chance to play in this?
Yeah, it's an internet. It's a like worldwide competition. So you might play against like Cristiano Ronaldo. Like, perfect. That could be a, he got red carded, by the way. He threw a defender down to the ground the other
day. I
mean,
can they get Messi loaned over from Inter Miami?
So here's the kicker on this whole Champions Cup thing.
Ironic, we're talking soccer.
Thank you, Timmy May. Dynamite drop in. Is that Miami plays tonight. They're down 2-1 against Monterrey. If they win this game, or they can draw 2-1 and go to extra time and have the same fate that the Crew did. If Miami wins this game, it sets up a two-leg affair with Messi in Miami in the semifinals to get to the finals.
So no MLS team has ever gotten this far.
No. Oh. The Crew have never gotten this far. But no MLS team has ever beaten a Mexican team in penalties Mexico. In Mexico.
Okay.
There so that was history last night.
All right.
So you could get an earlier appearance from Messi if they hold up their end of the bargain.
Okay. I like that. We'll see if that happens. I mean, you've got one of the best players in the world, at least, I mean, by name, if nothing else.
Right.
That should be pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So that's a 10:30 start. If you really want to go back-to-back-to-back tonight and watch that game, you can do that. I will opt to look at the score sheet tomorrow.
You're not going to consume some more soccer tonight, B?
I'll watch Champions League today. They got two more matches at 3:00, but other than that, I'm not staying up till midnight.
Come on.
I'm not staying up till midnight to watch Monterey and Miami. I'm just not going to do it. So ESPN put
such
out their
Twitter, B.
I know. I'm soft. Goggins would be super upset with me. Do something you don't want to do every day. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
There's some sometimes being progress doesn't look like much. Mm-hmm. Okay, but you have to keep stacking those cards every day. Okay?
Get that three cards edge. Doesn't look get, like much, but a deck.
Deck. You get 250 work days basically a year. That's like five decks of cards. Yeah. Let's start stacking, coach. You got to get better as a soccer observer, Beam.
You want me to watch it tonight?
Yeah, do it.
For you? For the show?
Calling your bluff.
Will you watch it tonight? We can just do 3 hours of show.
I won't. I've got a couple other things that I've got. I'm either going to watch my daughter. She got a lacrosse game, and maybe actually going back to Dayton. I got to figure this thing out.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Me and your boy Hoxter heading back there. So,
oh.
Yeah.
He's like royalty down there.
Oh, of course he is.
Like royalty. He is royalty.
So we'll see what happens. So I don't know if I'll be running around doing some things.
At 10:30 at night?
I don't even know where I would find
FS1. These games are on FS1.
That sounds like too much work.
ESPN ranked their top college football coaches here in the country, and I don't know if I necessarily agree with it. I don't know if it's list season or whatever. Kirby Smart's number one.
Of course it's list season.
Yeah, I mean, Kirby Smart's number one. I get that. I understand. So they did this, said, when we asked our college football reporters to rank the sport's top 10 coaches, we figured there wouldn't be much debate as to who's number one, and there wasn't. Kirby Smart, whose Bulldogs are 42-2 over the past three seasons, was the unanimous pick. Here you go. At number two is Kalen DeBoer. Alabama coach.
It's interesting now because historically you would probably put Dabo Swinney there. He's won two titles. I don't think there's a coach currently coaching who's won more than him. But they haven't been great the last couple of years. So you're like, is he losing his fastball? So Kalen DeBoer, you put in there as a guy who's done probably more with less in an area where you're not expected to win quite as much. Now he's at Alabama, so now there'll be no excuses and you'll really see what he can do. But the rest of these, it's just, it's making arguments up and down of what you think.
Kyle Whittingham comes in at number three, which I like Kyle Whittingham.
I like him too. Yeah. It's a similar thing with Kalen DeBoer. He's at Utah. He doesn't have the resources. His teams are always really good.
Dabo comes in at number four. Again, did he lose his fastball? Or are they going to be back? I honestly thought it was a great finish to the season for Clemson. Like, they were dead in the water, potentially not making a bowl game. And they finished up at 9-4. Like, it was a good job by Dabo and that Clemson Tigers program to kind of correct that ship. So now with the expansion of the playoff, they'll obviously be a big-time contender down there from the ACC. Mike Norvell out of Florida State coming in at number five, 69-33 overall, 13-1 last year, obviously lost
the
bowl
game.
He's
done a really good job there.
They were good. Did they get kind of
hosed a little bit?
Being left out of the college football playoff, kind of. But you lost your Heisman-winning quarterback, like, all of a sudden.
And your team looked bad.
Yeah. They looked bad.
And you lost your backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. And you just didn't look very good. So, yeah, there were some issues there. I don't necessarily have arguments to make. Like, you could kind of rotate those three guys all through those spots. I mean, I would say if you're saying best, and this is the argument, best versus most accomplished. Like, who's the best this season?
Yeah.
I mean, I would say that you probably obviously have Kirby Smart still the top, but like most accomplished, you start making that list of who's left coaching. I mean, Dabo Swinney still won two titles. And so it's just trying to parcel this out and figure out how you rank those two things.
Dan Lanning comes in at number six for Oregon. We'll get a taste of them this year as you go out to Autzen Stadium.
It's a small body of work with him, too.
Yeah, it is. And he is fiery, though. I mean, he's 22-5, has won a lot of games, 12-2 last year. Really good program.
Lost both his games to his rival.
Yeah, well, that's obviously, maybe that's why he wasn't number five or number four on the list, because he did do that. Sark comes in at number seven out of Texas. Lane Kiffin at number eight from Ole Miss. Lance Leipold for Kansas, who just signed that contract extension here recently to stay in Lawrence at number nine.
I think Lance is good. I mean, see, it's tough because he's at a place where the expectations are so much less than they are at a lot of these other places we're talking about.
So much, like significantly
less. Did you say Lance?
So he's at number nine, and then Ryan Day kicks in at number 10. Like overall, 11-2 last year, we know it, 56-8 as a career here with Ohio State.
A lot of CFP berths, national championship appearance, hasn't gotten over the top. You give him one national title, that probably catapults him in
top
three or four.
Top three, yeah.
And so we'll see. I mean, this team is gassed up and ready to go. I think outside of Kirby, you could really rotate those guys around from 2 to 10 in a multitude of ways, and you can make arguments for all of them being at different spots.
Yeah, and like the difference if Ryan Day was at Kansas and Lance Leopold was here, like what would it look like, you know? Given the situation and the circumstance, like what would those alternate realities look like?
And that's something, Beam, we'll never know.
We'll never know that. Interesting enough, Lincoln Riley not on this list. Because he was hot. Like every list for the last five years has been like Lincoln Riley at number three, Lincoln Riley at number two, Lincoln Riley at number four. Not on the list.
It's a very astute observation by you, Beam, and I was going to ask, you know, if there's any omissions on there, knowing that he was one of those guys. It was probably a top five or 3 years ago, but they have been sucking it at USC for a while.
Hey, don't worry. Their quarterback's an overwhelming draft prospect that you can't miss.
He's not playing for him, though, next year, and they weren't very good with him.
Brian Kelly also received votes. Lincoln Riley also received votes.
I was going to say, BK was the other guy that I was surprised that he's not on that list. I'm honestly more upset that he's not on that list than, and I look at some of the other guys that are on there.
Yeah.
I think Brian Kelly is a better coach than probably, I would say, Lane. Maybe Sark's last year did a lot for him in my eyes. But I'd have to look through that because I think there's a handful of guys that I would take Brian Kelly over.
Coffee with the Coach, Pascal Vincent next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. We're watching two crashes right now. The first one on I-70 westbound just beyond 256 on the east side. The right shoulder slightly blocked off over there as crews work to clear up a crash. Also in the New Albany area on 161 eastbound, there is a crash just beyond Hamilton Road that has the right shoulder blocked and delays building in those eastbound lanes. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with Fan Traffic.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If Bobby and Beamer aren't talking about it, it's not worth your time anyway. You're listening to Morning Juice.
Here's Long here, Wednesday edition of the program. Brandon Beam, Bobby Carpenter, Mark the Shark. At this time, every single Wednesday, we get to check in with the head coach of your Blue Jackets.
Blue Jackets conversation, freshly brewed.
Whitey with a one-time shot, and he scores!
Cards, starring Pascal Vincent and his always in fashion sweater vest.
Sponsored by Schottenstein Roofing, proud partner of the Columbus Blue Jackets.
We're heading out to the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline, checking with the head coach of your CBJ. He is Pascal Vincent. Coach, thanks as always for the time. Crazy travel schedule. Guys were, kind of the West Coast a little bit a couple of weeks ago, now down south. We're in Florida. In Fort Lauderdale here this morning. I mean, that's got to be a crazy thing to do, not only on you and the coaching staff, but last part of the year, only a few games left, but for the players too. I mean, I'm sure that it is rather exhausting right now. Thanks for the time, Coach.
Well, my pleasure.
So we got a lot going on here with you guys, but the injuries just keep racking up, Coach. I mean, I know that you're not in a roster management position, but for you, how do you balance that given the battle of attrition that your team is facing right now with the injury front?
Well, it's that's something we really don't control. What those injuries are, and since I've been in Columbus, that's 3 years now. We're just we've got to find a way to. We need to find a way to make sure that those injuries don't happen. So how does that happen? I'm not sure. But we have freaky injuries that we can control. And the only thing we control, basically my point is, how can we play with the players that we have? And I'm going to tell you something. I'm so proud of our guys. They're all in, and they work so hard. And whether we have, like right now, we have 10 NHL players out of the lineup and we're calling guys up. And the mindset hasn't changed in a sense that they go out there, we take care of the moment the best we can, and they work hard. That the one thing we can control is the team is working it, is our work ethic, and the team is working extremely hard. So it's how we manage it is dealing at the moment, in the moment, and trying to do our best we can, and that's what the guys are doing.
How do you build those lines, Pascal, when you have that many guys out and you're trying to figure out who can play together and what works? How difficult is that?
Well, it is and it isn't. It gives us opportunities to try new things and to see if there's maybe a combination of two players that can work together. Right now, we have a line of Texier, Sillinger, and Marchenko that is playing really well. And it gives me the opportunity to play against the elite players and see if they can defend again and check against those guys. But also, can they also produce playing against elite lines and elite defensemen? And in the past... the past few weeks, those three have been together, and they've done a real good job. And they keep getting better. So that's very exciting. And then you bring the young players or the guys that we call up from the American League, and usually, depending on their the perception that we have or the evaluation that we have, that's a better word, and what they can do. And then we're trying to spot them on different lines in the lineup, depending if it's more of an offensive line or a checking line or energy line. So, and then from there, they have the opportunity to showcase themselves. And if they do better, then they move up the lines. But it's certainly not ideal for me as a coach. To answer your question, is it how do we manage that? But it's doable. And at this point of the season, we want to evaluate our players and what they can do. So that's we try to put them in position where we can evaluate them.
He is head coach of your Blue Jackets, Pascal Vincent, with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Coach, I know you're a big fan of psychology, right, and kind of getting into the weeds a little bit and looking at players' mindsets and everything. When a guy comes up, you just take, for example, an AHL player, right, like a Malcolm Subban, who hasn't played in the NHL for a long time. Like, he goes out there against the Hurricanes, you know that's going to be a tough test, gets a goal against them real early, battles back in that game. I mean, mentally, with these guys who are coming up and maybe necessarily haven't played the minutes in the NHL, what are you looking at to see if the guy has it to be in the NHL?
So for the team's perspective, this is really not ideal. You start the game against one of the powerhouse in the league, 17 seconds, and you get scored against. For an evaluation purpose, this is really interesting. How is he going to bounce back? Is he how is he going to react? Is the next shot, is the next play is going to be hard, or is you're going to see a guy that has character? So that aspect and that moment was very interesting. So what he did was also very interesting because he bounced back and he did it really well. Again, against one of the best team in the league, fastest, I would say, plays direct, and they shoot a lot of pucks at the net with a lot of traffic. And for him to play the way he did is a real good sign. He stayed in the moment. He kept playing. He made some key saves following that goal. And that part of, to me, that part of the evaluation, which is as important as the skill set and all the other skills you need to have to be an elite athlete, that part was important to me in my evaluation. And he did a real good job.
Coach, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on with us early here this morning after a late last night. Go get him in Florida tomorrow. We'll check in again soon, all right?
Thank you very much.
There he goes. Head coach of your Columbus Blue Jackets, Pascal Vincent, with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Panthers tomorrow, and then just a couple of games to go from there to round out the season. What would you do to go to Augusta National this week during the Masters? That's next. Morning Juice right here on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. Right now we're watching two crashes. The first on the east side on I-70 westbound. The right shoulder slightly blocked off just beyond 256 as crews work to clear up a crash. Also seeing delays build in New Albany on 161. This is in those eastbound lanes of 161 just beyond Hamilton Road. The right shoulder slightly blocked off over there. I'm 10TV's Amy Sagerwald with Fan Traffic.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Miss a minute of the show?
Check out the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Type in Morning Juice and subscribe.
This is Morning Juice.
All right, playoff time rolling around here. NBA, NHL, baseball's in full swing. Soccer, a bunch of action on that. Yesterday into today. FanBull, that too. FanDuel, that's your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers, you're going to get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150 win or lose, bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all in an app. Safe, secure, super easy to use. The best part is Dinger Tuesday yesterday, Mike Trout going yard, all kinds of good stuff for you there.
You know, I'm trying to recover from Dinger Tuesdays. Yeah, you know, you get smacked around a lot on those Dinger Tuesdays. Win a lot of cash, though. So what are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/juice to make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 order in present Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, so you got the Masters happening tomorrow. By the way, Champions Dinner looked awesome last night. Like,
what was the men? What did they have?
You know what, Bob? Let me look at that real quick. I believe it was pretty good. I mean, you got
Did no one take a picture of their meal? Camera eats first and post it to the gram.
So the Masters actually like tweeted out the menu yesterday.
I want the menu. I want to see the food.
Oh yeah, we did. Well,
I want the visual.
They posted something on Instagram of like the ham on Iberico, like the Spanish ham that's super expensive. That Jon Rahm obviously was serving.
Was that
last
like the
night.
Kobe beef of ham?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, kind of like the like A5 Wagyu of.
They hang the hog. They hang a hog.
I was actually watching a show, and these hogs eat nothing but like very expensive nuts and cherries. Like that's
so they eat better than
we do.
That's perfect. I like that when you feed the animal better than you, so that they're going to taste better when you ultimately eat them. The transversive properties. So you're really just eating the nuts and berries, Beam.
Yeah, so they had some tapas last night, which is, you know, a little
Spanish dish.
Yeah, some tapas. Exactly. So they had that going on.
Yeah, they have gazpacho?
They had a Basque crab salad, which
what
sounds...
What is that?
So a Basque is a region in Spain. I don't know what kind of flavors were going on, but a crab salad, I'm in on that.
Is there crab in the salad?
They had ribeye last night, Bob, with some like piquillo peppers, like the little red peppers. That's a big win out of Rambo. gumbo, and then turbo, which is a fish, and then with white asparagus. Like, that's also a win as well. And then for the dessert, puff pastry cake, custard, and a chantilly cream served in honor of Mr. John Rahm. So had that going on last night, of course. So that was pretty cool. We got the par three contest coming up today, which obviously we'll all be locked into. Shark, I know you'll be
Let's
locked
talk
in
more about the food. Now. Forget about the par three. Yeah. That's a pretty elite meal.
Yeah. Rambo was always going to,
I was worried. I'm not a huge fan of the Spanish food. I like more of, like, if we're going to go with Spanish-speaking countries, Latino, I'm going to go probably a little more with the Mexican.
Okay.
I like some good Colombian food.
I like Barcelona, though, in town. Barcelona's good. That delivers pretty
solid.
How
did he not have gazpacho? Like, that's the only soup I know from Spain.
Is that like the cold tomato
soup?
Yeah,
it's the cold tomato soup. Now, you're telling me some sort of Spanish ribeye? That sounds pretty elite as well.
Yeah, that does sound pretty good.
I'm a fan of that. I'm truly wondering, though, why, if they're going to have some of that Spanish hog, that they didn't have Schlegs go out there and hunt those Spanish hogs for him. He would have went in there. You would have seen how he would have prepared.
Can you imagine Schlegs walking around at Augusta?
Do they have a gym
in the clubhouse?
Do they have a gym at Augusta?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Could he have hung the hog
from
hang
a
hog
rack at Augusta's
from
clubhouse?
The double cable cross outside? And then Rambo being the winner, maybe you do the 2 years ago winner because you don't want the winner to prepare his own meal.
Right.
Scotty Shuffler could have went up there with the hatchet.
Yeah.
And he could have been the dude of the week.
Perfect.
And hacked that hog's head off.
That would have been great. I think that would be a great tradition that we need to start over at Augusta National.
Let the 2 years ago guy prepare for the previous winner. I like that.
So we get emails all the time.
Hack a hog.
We get emails a lot. There's random emails talking about, like, oh, this would be an interesting topic for you to talk about. Here's an expert on this subject. You know, like those random emails that we get.
Expert hog hunter.
So this comes from, I don't know, some PR group. And it said that this was a breakdown of fans and what they would do to attend the Masters. 60% of golf fans would miss their child, spouse's, or parents' birthday to play Augusta National. I don't know how that isn't higher. I mean, that's about 100% for me. I don't know.
Only 60?
Bob, I don't know if there's anything in the world.
Are these golf fans or just random people?
My client ran a fan survey and asked golf fans what they would do to play.
So people that are fans of golf. So golf is important in their life.
60%
of golf fans. Yeah, 60% is low.
Yeah, that's way low.
There were people, were they surveyed in front of a spouse or like a loved one that they would be missing this
for? I would have missed William's birth to play Augusta National.
Was Meredith sitting beside you while you answered that question?
I would still say yes.
What if she stabbed you in the leg with a fork and you retracted your answer?
Was that after I got to play? Because then if it's after, then it's fine.
No,
but before that might hamper
this
my
is before.
To
they're polling you before you got to do it. She's like 8.5 months pregnant. They're like, hey, you know what? We're going to send you out there. There's a chance you might miss
like
this.
Like in a 2 day window.
Yeah.
Like you may be able to play, get back in time. It's a 50-50 shot. I'm taking the 50%, I think.
What is Meredith taking?
Meredith's taking basically like Schlegs with the hatchet to my head.
There you go. So that's the thing. Yeah. If they ask them in front of the spouse,
wildly different answer.
Have you seen the one video? It's like a door. It's a sweet doorbell cam they have of this guy coming up with his buddy.
I have seen it.
Where you love this shark. He comes up and his girlfriend, I think, is with him. And he was like, hey, they ring the doorbell. And you hear him walking up. She's like, you need to be strong with him. You need to tell him what's up. And he's like, hey, man, I can't be going out and drinking with you and going to the casino on Sunday. I came back drunk.
Wife's like in the background.
His wife's like, right, stay right there. I got to be more responsible than this. It's my fault. I can't let you drag me down. You know, I know that we're good friends, but this
is
gotta
stop.
You're
leading me down a path that I don't want to go down.
Yes. And you're leaving me down the path. And so she's like, good. He's like, all right, man, I appreciate it. I understand. I can't do that to you anymore.
And he's like at the door. So you're hearing this whole conversation. He was like, okay, I'm sorry. And it's great.
Yeah. And then they like walk away and he's like, hold on, I dropped my wallet. And he goes back up and like opens the door. He's like, hey, man, thanks. And then just runs.
Because I'll see you on Friday.
See you on Friday. And runs back out. It's one of the great deals. And there's no way it's fabricated because she looks legitimately mad. Either these guys are both winning Academy Awards for their performance or that thing is straight up real. So that's why I wonder, Beam, if they're doing this survey, is this anonymous? Is this something they're filling out their computer?
Would you attach your name to it?
Are you sitting in marriage counseling?
And would you email it to your wife?
Yeah, 100% not. Your pregnant wife.
Brandon said that 100% he would miss the birth of your first child to go play Augusta National.
It's not a good situation. You could say that like now, but I feel
I agree with you 100%.
But saying that to a hormonal, like 8-month pregnant wife, those are two different creatures you're talking to.
Yeah, you're right about that.
They're in a different mindset. Mm-hmm. I've been lugging this kid around for you for 8 months.
Yeah.
And you're going to drop this bag of crap on me.
Go play golf? You're dead.
There's some strangers you don't even know. And of course, you've never. It's Augusta, dear.
Sad to know that your son is going to grow up without a father and a mother because she's going to go to prison.
Exactly.
I would write to the cops. Please don't arrest her. I deserve this.
It's amazing.
Please don't do that.
So 60% seems kind of low because if you're a golf fan, I would say that'd be more.
To miss a birthday. That's that. You got plenty of those.
Birthday, schmirthday.
Yeah, who cares about that? Like my grandma's turning 90 here in May. Yeah, if they told me if I could play Augusta National on my grandma's birthday, who's turning 90, I've told you this before. I'm a selfish beast. I would play Augusta.
What if I told you it was her last birthday?
That would be a different question then.
I'm just throwing it out
there.
Yeah,
it's a good point.
If you ask your grandma, what do you think she would tell you?
I think my grandma would want me to play Augusta.
I believe that to be the case, knowing what I know about your grandma.
Yeah, Janet, she's a rock star. She would say, have a Mikey's for me.
There you go.
Down there.
I packed some Mikey's in your bag to put in there.
That, and I packed a bottle of Riesling for you.
Riesling.
She loves a Riesling. Oh, it's so sweet. 31% said they would get a tattoo that's visible when clothed. I mean, yeah, sure. That's fine. Lump the Augusta National logo on me for all I care.
They tattoo your scorecard on it.
You get a big gut tat. Yeah.
Visible when clothed. So it's assuming you never wear a shirt?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
That's our assumption of this. 10% said that they would quit their job.
What, dude, you only are getting 60% to miss a birth, but 10% quitting their job?
Those 10% are more along the lines of my thinking, I feel.
I mean, that's pretty significant.
And most golf fans say 77% of them would pay up to $1,000 for a single round at Augusta. Given the fact that Pebble Beach is $1,000 a round to play out there now, playing $1,000 to play Augusta and a chance
that you cost of it is?
I don't know what the cost. I have no idea what the cost is. Rumor is that the membership.
No, I'm talking at Pebble Beach.
Yeah, Pebble's $1,000 a round now.
I feel better about that package I bought that my father-in-law will hopefully take. I guess they're planning it right now, Beam.
Oh, good.
I mean, what would you pay to play Spyglass, Spanish Bay, and Pebble?
All three of them?
Yeah, the three banger.
Probably a grand.
What's a grand for one of them?
I know, but you're asking me what I would pay. That's too much to pay for one course.
But it's the Ocean Beam.
When we went out to Oregon and we played all the Bandon courses, I think I paid $120 per round, and that seemed extreme. And that was at a steep discount.
What'd you do for the discount?
If you have to ask, you can't afford it. Speaking of that, what's got us juice? We'll do that next. Morning juice right here on the
CJ.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. Right now, tracking a couple trouble spots. The first one out in the New Albany area on 161 eastbound beyond Hamilton Road. There is a crash that has the right shoulder slightly blocked off. Also on the east side, I-70 westbound beyond 256, the right shoulder slightly blocked off as crews work to clear up a crash. And on State Route 104 in the westbound lanes just beyond Hall Road, there is a crash that has the right lane blocked. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with Fan Traffic.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger. For the ones who get it done.
Panic and passion. Is that a motivational quote or the title of an adult romance novel? You're listening to Morning Juice.
We are on the Juice, are brought to you by our good friends over at Affinity Whole Healthy Leader in testosterone and hormone replacement therapy. You can visit them on the line at feelgreatcolumbus.com.
What's got you juiced?
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. Call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, Bob, little Wednesday buddy, what's got you fired up today?
some guy talking about hitting the snooze button.
And zero is the number of times you should hit the snooze button. Remember, just before you wake, very often, this is when we are in the deepest part of our sleep cycle. If we actually set the snooze button 20 or 30 minutes before we're supposed to get up because we think that waking up in stages is going to help us, it's not. That extra 15, 20, or 30 minutes of sleep that you get by hitting the snooze button multiple times when stretched out over a week or stretched out over a month adds up to hours of sleep-deprived time that was unnecessary because we can set our alarms, and when our alarm goes off, we should be getting up out of bed and starting our day, not resetting the alarm to go back to sleep. This is because you're waking up in the deepest part of your circadian cycle of sleep. So zero should be the number of times you hit the snooze button.
Don't be a snooze button hitter, Shark. Are you a snooze button?
I'm not. That's I'm good. Not, Bob.
Very rarely for me.
Schlegs has like 48 alarms. I'm all about backup alarms, but I don't hit the snooze. I used to when I was younger. I got done with that and get out of bed, get going, get fired up, be excited to attack your day, Shark, with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Yes.
Remember, spectacular achievements come from unspectacular preparation. Roger Staubach via Jim Tressel on Quiet Time this morning.
Wow.
Yeah, I put that out 24 seconds ago. That just popped in the top of my timeline. I thought it was pertinent for today to be able to go and get it done. So super excited here to be done midweek. Shark, I'm sad that you're going to be done. Negative juice, that I won't see you for probably the next 12 days.
Oh.
I know you're excited about it, but think about this, Tim Hall. Your vacation, it's almost over.
It's over before it started. It's the anticipation.
At 9 o'clock, that'll be the best part of your vacation, is right there when it comes to a climax. What's got Schlegs juice today?
That's why you don't talk trash. Just go do your job. You suck. You're getting beat. You know, like, what are we talking about? I don't even know how to explain it.
Mm-hmm. Some bad news today. My grandson, Jude, don't call me Julian, is getting braces. Mm. And yesterday he had to have a tooth pulled.
Mm, so that feels good.
Fit those braces. And the orthodontist said, you cannot play your lacrosse game tomorrow. So
why? Well, hold up. Why?
I don't know, Bob. I'm not a dentist.
Tell your son to be asked to lacrosse. Hey, he's wearing a helmet.
Right.
Wearing a mouth guard?
He's wearing a mouth guard. Are his teeth any less valuable today than they were yesterday? I mean, what are we talking about? Or more valuable?
Like, what are the prices of teeth going for today?
Dude, did he break his ankle in there? When he pulled his tooth, did he fall out of the chair?
I'm with you, Bob.
Anymore? You need, exactly, can it get hurt anymore? He's missing a tooth. They pulled it out. Great. Go play the game right afterwards. Shark, you've got
Bob.
Give me your son's number. We're gonna have a conversation.
My advice: sometimes you got to play hurt, son.
Exactly.
Get out there. I don't care if you're wobbly from anesthesia.
A day later.
Anyway, I won't be attending a lacrosse game.
JT Barrett played a game after a knee surgery like 4 or 5 days later.
Bob Carpenter worked hours after having a vasectomy, for crying out loud.
Bob Carpenter had his toenail ripped off in the bowels of the Alamo Bowl and came back and played the game
an hour later.
Remember when Bobby Boucher showed up at halftime of the Bourbon Bowl and the Mud Dogs won?
Mm.
That's what that was.
Hey, last night, NBA record. The Celtics did not shoot a free throw.
Saw that.
It's pretty
first
impressive.
First time that's ever happened in NBA history. Wow. And the Bucks, they played the Bucks. The Bucks shot 2 free throws.
Jeez.
That's a good
and
basketball
Giannis
game
went down
right
with
there.
A calf injury.
Yes, he did. That wasn't so good. Back in the mid-80s, I did a sports talk show in this town. And I had a rather contentious relationship with then SID at Ohio State, Steve Snapp. He was a tough guy to deal with. Rest in peace, Steve.
I know.
Anyway, I'd call Steve and say, hey, can we get Earl Bruce on? No. Can we get Eldon Miller on? No. You know who you can get on? Any other coach you want here at Ohio State. So we had Tara Vanderveer on. She was the head coach at Ohio State. Probably, I don't know, 30 years old at the time. She was young, but she was great. She was really smart, and we would have her on like once a month. She liked coming on. She liked giving her program some publicity. Anyway, after 5 years at Ohio State, she went to Stanford. Yeah. She's been there for 38 years, and is the all-time winningest coach, male or female, in college basketball history. And she retired yesterday, or announced her retirement yesterday. You know why? Well, she's 70, but she's like, I don't want to leave the Pac-12.
Good for her.
She doesn't have to. Stanford's going to the ACC.
There is no Pac-12. She's not leaving anything.
Well, she's leaving the Pac-2, I guess.
So, I don't want to get on those airplanes and travel all those miles next year.
Fly to Clemson and North Carolina, all those
places. Boston College.
Anyway, good for her. She's a great woman, won 3 national championships, Final Four 14 times. So that's a pretty spectacular career. I am heading to Las Vegas tomorrow, then going up to about a 2-hour drive to Death Valley, California, going to knock off another national park off my bucket list. But I'm here to educate. Death Valley, California, the hottest, the driest, and the lowest place in the United States.
Most ruthless, too.
Badwater Basin, the lowest actual spot at 282 feet below sea level. Less than 2 inches of rain falls in Death Valley per year. And on July 10th, 1913, the temperature reached 134 degrees in Furnace Creek, which is where we are staying tomorrow. That is the hottest temperature ever recorded on planet Earth, 138. However, the highs tomorrow and Friday, only 79. But
balmy.
It's full sunshine, and it is the desert, so I'll probably be doing some hiking naked. Stay perfect. Cool. Beamer, what has you juiced?
Oh, the picture of you doing that's got me juiced.
No pictures. No pictures.
Yeah, 79 degrees. It's a dry heat, though, sure.
It's so a dry heat.
You won't sweat. Are you going to wear long sleeves out there?
No. Just a lot of sunscreen.
Got to make sure that you don't get sunburned. What would you say? I mean, you've done had a long career here in radio, and you're saying, you know, big congratulations to Tara Vanderveer for retiring and the all-time winningest coach in basketball. What would you say? I mean, during your career, was your do you have a favorite interview that you've done? Was it Marge Schott?
No, I did have Marge Schott on a few times. Gosh, that's a good question, Beam. I think our interviews with Tim May are spectacular. And I was doing interviews with Tim May, gosh, 30 years ago. He's never changed. He's been in Columbus for 40-some years, and he still has that wonderful accent.
Of course he does.
Yeah. Got here like 78, I think.
Yeah, it's been a long 46 years then.
Yeah.
That's pretty remarkable. That's got me juice, Sharka. Super pumped for you. You leave at 6:15 tomorrow morning.
Yes, sir.
I need a picture of an airport beer, so just guarantee
no airport
that.
Beers, Beam.
That's
too early.
That's got me juice. What else has me juice is the crew accomplished something in American history that's never been done before. That and the re-rack next. Morning juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and happy Wednesday. Right now, a couple trouble spots, including on 104 westbound. Just beyond Hall Road, there is a crash that has the right lane blocked. Out of New Albany, we're still tracking delays on 161 eastbound beyond Hamilton Road, as there is a crash that has the right shoulder slightly blocked off over there. Lastly, still on the east side on I-70 westbound beyond State Route 256, expect a crash that has the right shoulder blocked. I'm 10TV's Amy Sagerwald with Fan Traffic.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Three.
Beam has a baby face. Bobby has soft hands. That should not stop you from listening to this show. This is Morning Juice.
Hour number 3 of the program for us on a Wednesday. Brandon Beam, Bobby Carpenter, Mark the Shark coming up here in about 30 minutes' time. We're going to check in with Bill Landis, who survived WrestleMania in Philadelphia over the weekend. We'll also talk some football with Bill coming up here around 8:35 this morning.
Keeping you informed about what's trending this morning, it's time for a little re-rack on Morning Juice.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus, your destination for top-of-the-line grills with up to 30-year warranties. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
Hey, Bob, why don't you pick out a number for us?
Ooh, let's do number 5.
Our number 5. You get into Shark. 614-821-9710. You're going to be walking away with a pair of tickets to Neat, a bourbon event at the Cherry Valley Hotel in Newark this Saturday, April 13th from 5 to 8 p.m. You can also immerse yourself in a world of bourbon with their VIP package that includes an overnight stay or purchase individual tickets. Check out over 30 brands of distilleries like Woodford, Cleveland Whiskey, Whistle Pig, Watershed, Middle West, and more. Tickets are on sale at OhioEventCenter.com or CherryValleyHotel.com. 614-821-9710. That's the phone number. Caller number 5 to get into Shark. You'll be walking away with a pair of tickets to go to that awesome bourbon event. It was a busy night here for Columbus sports. So Jackets go down to the Lightning 5-2. They're taking on the Panthers on Thursday. So got an off day coming up here today. Lots of soccer going on. Was watching Japan and Brazil, which was at 4 o'clock. That was the third place match at lower.com field in the She Believes Cup. That game went to penalties. U.S. women's national team against Canada in the first place game in the championship game went to penalties. U.S. wins 5-4 on penalties, which was a prediction as to what was going to happen a little bit later on in the evening, because the Crew knew exactly what they needed to do in the 90 minutes against T. Grace. Couldn't get it done in 90 minutes. They drew 1-1, tied it 2-2 on aggregate. Away goals were the same. So we're heading to extra time. The 30 minutes of extra time proved nobody was going to score in that. So we head to the penalty shootout where Patrick Schulte, who gave up the first goal of the game in the first 2 minutes on a pretty big gaffe, got himself back, had some remarkable saves during the entire game, and then the first two shooters for Tigres.
Shooter!
Save, save, Crew with an advantage. Cucho goes up as the fourth kick taker, misses it off the post, gives Tigres life. They hit the fifth one. It all comes down to the final kick. Crew get it done, 4-3 on penalties. It's the first time an MLS team has ever beat a Liga MX team in Mexico in a shootout. Also, the first time the Crew have ever got to the semifinals of this competition. So breaking all kinds of records last night.
There we go. Good for the Crew. End it done. Having some success. Hopefully Cucho will start making his PKs. Yep. And then we'll be good.
Yeah. I had a feeling he was going to miss.
Okay. Did you really?
I did. I had that feeling that he was going to go up there, and he's played okay. He slipped a lot last night. Like, I don't know what was going on.
Some poor turf issues.
I don't even know if it was the turf. Like, he was kind of the only one. So I don't know what was going on with his studs, but he didn't have really good footing, and he just pulled the sucker wide left. He didn't look really confident, like heading to the penalty spot. But he did miss, but it didn't matter anyways, because the Crew get it done in a penalty shootout. Now here's the kicker. Monterey and Miami play tonight. The Crew will get the winner of that game. So it's a 2-1 advantage, Monterey. They're heading back home. So Messi and the boys are going to have to score some goals tonight if they want to move on to the semifinals. But you could potentially get a Lionel Messi game earlier here in Columbus than you anticipated if they do end up winning that.
Be a little bonus game?
A little bonus game.
That'd be great. What do you think they'll charge? Like $1,000 a seat?
I don't know what they're going to charge for that, because the like they're not even
available. Like Passover, they're your firstborn.
They won't even be available until the time that the game is over tonight. So like they will know the opponent. Regardless, like Monterey will bring a huge contingent here too. Like they their stadium in Monterey. So last night it was packed at Tigres, and Tigres and Monterey stadiums are like 20 minutes apart. Like they're very, very close. But Monterey Stadium is like 55,000 capacity. It's one of the biggest Mexican teams out there.
That's large. That is a large stadium.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Shark, I got a question for you. Because, you know, you always say, Jude, don't call me Julian.
Yeah.
Is that his decision?
Yes, he hates the name Julian.
I like the name
Julian. His mother isn't happy about it. She obviously likes the name Julian. She gave it to him, but he does. He call me Jude.
Do you think if Julian Sain eventually becomes quarterback at Ohio State,
good call,
that might influence him to maybe transition to the name Julian?
Go back to the well?
I'm just curious. I mean, it might popularize it a little bit. Mm. I mean, make it cool. You would have thought Julian Edelman would have done that for him. It's funny. I would think that Julian is a very, it's not the most masculine name. That's probably why Mr. Jude doesn't enjoy it as much.
Could be.
But then I met Julian Edelman, and like I didn't think twice about it when I would talk to him.
I think it's a very nice name.
We just call him Jules.
How did you end up as Bobby and not Bob or Rob or Robert?
Well,
did you choose that? You prefer Bobby?
Yeah, Bobby is the preferred nomenclature here. I respond to any of them really indiscriminately. my dad was Rob and my grandpa was Bob. So I guess that kind of left. AJ always asked me why I didn't go by Trip or Trey, which I was like, that's...
What about Bobbert?
And I have had... AJ calls me... Laura actually calls me Bobbert a lot. I do have friends who like call me that. But it's funny, like older coaches, they would call me Rob, like knew my dad. I'm like, all right. And it's funny, my dad, I guess when he was younger, used to go by Bobby. You know, that's my aunt used to tell me. And then at some point, he transitioned to Rob.
Do you feel like because King of the Hill was so popular when you were growing up that Bobby Hill was such an American sensation that that's why you went by the name Bobby?
People would always call me that in the King of the Hill voice.
Damn it, Bobby.
Damn it, Bobby.
How did you flunk English? You speak English.
Exactly. I don't know. I mean, I'm just, it's always curious of the nicknames of why, you know, some people like them, some people don't. And I like to give people nicknames.
Meredith has gone by the name Meredith for forever. Mare is like what her mom and family calls her. And then Mike Bennett coined the name Mary, M-E-R-R-Y for her. And now like I call her Mary more than anything else.
Does she like going by Mary?
When she puts an order in for anything, like whether we're at a restaurant, whether we're picking up something to eat, like she puts in Mary as her name. Yeah.
M-A-R-Y?
M-E-R-R-Y. Mary.
Like Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if it'd be like M-E-R-I.
Right.
There's a lot of options there since that's more of like the Meredith.
Right.
Abbreviation. That's very interesting.
So that was a late name.
Michael is the one, Mr. Bennett.
Yeah.
Michael Benet is the one.
Michel Benoit, who's, by the way, real name is Benjamin. Isn't even Michael.
Benjamin Bennett?
Yeah. His name is Benjamin Michael Bennett IV.
Oh, so Michael's his
middle
name.
It's a family name, yeah.
So Michael's his middle name. Okay. Yeah. Benji Bennett? I like that way better.
Oh, you think we should start calling him Benji?
I can't wait to tell Schlags and like John Simon those guys.
I'm sure they're going to have a great time.
Benji Bennett, that's a great name. It's, you know, and so everybody does like, they ask, did you ever think about going by your middle name? Because RJ, I mean, he didn't have a choice. We started calling him RJ. If he want people, what is weird about it, Shark, is you get then, as you move through your life, people will just refer to you by your formal name that's on whatever sheet.
Yeah.
And they're like, let us know if it's something you want to be called differently. And I never thought about that. Some people call me Robert. Like, yeah, it's Bobby. And like, okay, you know, you get that. But it just becomes kind of a pain. So whatever coaches called me, I'd be good. It's interesting with that. And maybe this is why, I don't know if it's a genetic thing, maybe a family thing where you're just more cool to be called whatever. Like, I don't really have a big issue with it. Someone's like, well, what do you want to be called? I'm like, Bobby's what I've gone by. And like, you're supposed to age out of that. You know, at some point, I'm like, I don't know. Bobby Bonilla went by it. That was
pretty
good.
He still does go by it.
Yeah. I mean, Bobby Brown kind of did the name bad a little bit.
About Bobby Shmurda.
No, I don't even know who that is. Bob Sura. I mean,
Bobby Sura.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, man, Bob, you just made my day.
Well, a little Cavs reference there. I mean, I know that from all the biopics I've watched and the readings that JFK called his brother Bobby, even though he went by Robert publicly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel
everybody in the family called JFK Jack.
Yeah.
They didn't call him John.
Which is Jack and John. I'll never understand the...
Jack is a nickname for John.
Yes. Yeah. Like cutting down, going from a multi-syllabic name down to something that's singular, I get. Like my brother's name is Jonathan. He goes by Johnny. Like my youngest brother's name is Nathaniel. I think his real name is Nathan. We call him that or Nate. But I couldn't imagine taking a name and elongating it or just keeping it the same. Like that, I've never understood that. Something that's been befuddling to me, Beam.
What do you call your son and then his grandson, right? One's Charlie and the other one
Spark. I actually call him Spark.
Okay.
He's been Mark the Spark since birth.
So you're Shark, he's Spark.
Long before I was Shark, he was Spark.
Like, really?
Yeah. And so...
You've been Shark on sports for years.
Yeah, but...
Yes, you had him when you were 13.
Who gave you that nickname? Was it you?
Michael O'Malley.
Okay.
A guy I worked with on a morning show. But I called, he does a summer camp, boys camp in the Adirondacks every summer. And I called there one time and I said, is Mark Howell there? We don't know anybody by that name. And there's no Mark there. He runs the camp, whatever. Oh, you mean Sparky?
I mean, yeah, this is great. This is like National Lampoon's.
It is.
Yeah. He's like Chevy Chase, Clark Griswold, Sparky.
Yep. You know, J.C. Owens, born in Mississippi, moved to Cleveland when he was 5. First day of kindergarten, the teacher asked him his name, and he said, J.C.
Oh, my, that's how his Jesse, name is Jesse?
Jesse. He said Jesse.
J.C.
And he went by Jesse the rest of his life.
That is so great.
Yeah.
It's amazing, the Southern dialect. And if you are not like attuned to it, and a lot of people up here, and there's more, we're more transient now than ever before. When I was in high school, I played quarterback my freshman year. I played, you know, 7th, 8th, played quarterback my freshman year. We had a coordinator was from Georgia, and he had a very thick Southern accent slash draw. And we were running a play, like a bootleg. And so they would call it, you know, pro right 49 naked. Pro left 49 naked, boot back to the right. And he comes up in the huddle to me and he's like, all right, pro left 49 naked.
Naked.
And I was like, I just said that. Well, I just said, but repeat what he said. And everyone looked at me and then we're looking to break the huddle. No one, I can see the confusion. And he's like, hey, what the hell's going on over there? He comes over and I'm like, I don't know what that call is. He's like, it's pro 9 48 naked. I go, we don't have a naked in the play. I don't know what that means. He's like, it's naked. I'm like, what is that? It's not a call.
Spell it for me.
And then my dad was like, it's naked. And I'm like, oh, now I got it. He's like, how did you not get that? He's like, you know what the difference between naked and naked is? I'm like, and then he starts laughing.
Same difference and making between a joke. Creek and crick.
He goes, naked is when you don't have any clothes on. Naked is when you don't have any clothes on and you're up to something.
That's an all-time line from him.
I'm like, all right. Well, it was a way to diffuse 3 minutes of practice that was wasted through translation of the English language between two English speakers from different regions of the country.
How's Tiger Woods feeling heading into Augusta National this week? That's next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. We're still watching crews clear up a crash on the east side. This is on I-70 westbound just beyond State Route 256. The right shoulder slightly blocked off over there as crews work to clear up a crash. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with Fan Traffic.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A radio show hosted by two former football players, one slightly more successful than the other. You're listening to Morning Juice.
Bet the NBA with a no-sweat same-game parlay from FanDuel every Thursday with TNT Thursdays. Doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or you already have an account. This one, it's for everyone. You'll get bonus bets back if your same-game parlay, that's SGP, doesn't win on any NBA game on TNT. NBA same game parlays are the perfect way, Beam, to combine your bets for a chance to score a bigger payday. And we're right in the thick of it now. So you know all these games are mattering. You can put some points, rebounds. If you wanted to bet on LeBron on the same game parlay last night, that wouldn't have been good because minutes played were zero.
Well, that would be tough to accomplish when you play minutes. Rest versus rust, and we're just going to rest these guys. However you want to play, just head to FanDuel.com/juice. Bet the NBA with a no-sweat same-game parlay with TNT Thursdays. That's FanDuel.com/juice. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 and older. Present Ohio. Minimum three-leg parlay required. Refund issued is not withdrawable. Bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Got a text from a friend of mine. It's kind of interesting. He played for my dad and then coached me for a little bit, but he had played for this coach as well. And he,
the naked coach?
The naked coach. And he was like, great story about Cape. Like, you really couldn't script it. I mean, the guy was unbelievable, but his accent so thick that I was unable to discern it at that point in time in my life.
You couldn't have been that old either,
well, I hadn't
right?
really moved around a lot. The thing is, playing in the NFL, I can talk to just about anybody in America and diagnose where they're from and how they speak, just because you the dialects and accents from around the country in the locker room are crazy. I mean, New York, Newark, New Jersey, the Boston, you get, you know, some of the Yinzers, Pittsburgh area, people from, you know, Ohio.
Like Minnesota has a very specific accent.
Got that. But then you get like parts of Louisiana, which that is a whole nother beast.
I mean, it's that's like half English, half French, Creole.
They got their own words and stuff that are made up in there. I mean, parts of Texas, you know, then you got people, you know, like, and especially in Texas, there's a strong, obviously, Latino influence, Mexican influence. So, you know, everyone, there's just different accents all over the place, and you hear them all. So you eventually have to begin to like discern them and understand them and the different sayings that people had from different places. Like,
what in the Sam Dickens?
Wasn't the Sam Williams Dixon?
Yeah.
How about that?
Oh, that's a good one. Good pull.
I heard AT, one of the strength coaches, dropped that out on him the other day. I'm like, gosh, Schlegs is going to love that. And the Sam Williams Dixon. We got it's coming full, exactly. Buckeyes coming full circle right there for you. So good stuff as well.
So Tiger Woods getting ready to play at Augusta National tomorrow. By the way, his pairing is pretty good. Max Homa and Jason Day, he's going to be playing with for the first couple of days, and then we'll see if he does make the cut, what happens, who he's going
to
be.
The favorite is him not to make it. I would like to put some shekels on him to make it.
Yeah, it's just his body. It's his body, right? I mean, is his body going to last? Can he walk?
Well, it's only 2 days to make the cut.
It's true. Is he sharp? And I think that's a great question. But the more that you play Augusta National, the better chances
you
have.
Has anyone played Augusta National in the field that is, we'll use the term in air quotes, in contention, that could make the cut, that has played it more than him?
No.
And had more, I would say, obviously having more success, that's definitely
Well,
no.
Look at Phil last year. He barely made the cut and ended up finishing like third. You know, like these guys understand and they can make charges, and that's what makes it so great. But Tiger took to the Masters media room yesterday where he was at the podium. And I thought you would like this because we listen to motivational stuff a lot here on the show.
They asked about people, the young guys wanting to play him.
No, that will come tomorrow when they're getting ready to tee off.
Got a nice one for you.
That's a really good one. But here was Tiger about, like, why? Why are you still doing this?
I love golf. I do. I've always loved it. I played other sports growing up, but I just have always loved the sport. And I love to compete and be able to have the love I have for the game and the love for competition be intertwined. I think that's one of the reasons why I've had a successful career. I just love doing the work. I love logging the time in, and I love preparing, I love competing, and I love that feeling when everything's on fire with a chance to win, and you either you do or you don't.
Some do, some don't. You know what? It's a lot of like a Dan Campbell, just a golf version.
Yeah.
You know how many times he said love there? 34 second soundbite.
Six.
11.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Did you count that?
I did.
Things you do at 3 o'clock in the morning when you're cutting
sound. Short talks about how busy he is. He's over here.
I'm very busy all the time. I'm just waiting on a fan pull from Beam now.
God, I forgot I had to do that.
Well, Tiger Woods make the cut.
Yeah, there you go. Boom, put it on the line.
And put it do it on the next 3 days. We can see how it ebbs and flows.
Yeah, that's a good one. We'll do it tomorrow as he's getting ready to play.
Bodie makes his own fan pulls.
Yeah, when Bodie's in here, he does make his own fan pulls. That's true. That's a good point.
I told Shark, he cuts all the sound. They said they only use 10% of it here. I said, cut half as much. And then we're good.
Yeah.
And that'll free up some of your time. That's the most time-consuming thing he does. Then post all the videos all the audio during our show.
That's it. That's about 90% of the time. And then talking to people who are winning contests.
Which he gets their information, passes it on, which is sometimes lost.
Which is sometimes lost. Shark, I'll use more than 10% of your sound. Asked about what he's capable of this week was Tiger.
If everything comes together, I think I can get one more.
Get one more, and then
listen to that.
And then he went on to say, like, and then the members of the media were kind of like laughing. Then he goes, "What? You want more out of me than that?" And he kind of had like a wry smile. I'm like, "That's great.
That's good. He's feeling good, man. Yeah. He must be feeling good. I know Rothman's going to sit there and analyze his back 37 ways from Sunday.
It's not even his back really anymore. It's that leg. It's the ankle. He can't move his foot.
Well, you don't need to move your foot. Just set it right there.
Just have it be stable.
They say quiet feet when
they
you go.
They do. Maybe it helped him out.
Keep that foot right there. Is that kind of like a leg situation like Greg Olson in the seventh floor club?
It could be. So he goes off at like 1:15 tomorrow afternoon. And then if you want to watch a featured group of Rory, Xander, and Scottie Scheffler, that's not even a featured group. So who knows what's going to go on.
Is that Friday?
That's Thursday, Friday. But the featured groups tomorrow would be Tiger.
What time is he on Friday?
So we'll be like at 10:30 on Friday.
10:30?
Yeah.
I was hoping they'd give him like a nice early. What's the earliest groups going on?
8:30 tomorrow.
See, I would have liked that. We could have watched a little bit during the end of the show.
We're going to be breaking down the ceremonial tee shots tomorrow at Augusta. That's for sure. That happens at 8:15. So an hour, 24 hours away from right now.
2.5 beam.
We're breaking it down.
Over under.
Phil Landis survived WrestleMania over the weekend. He's going to join us. We'll talk about some Buckeyes with him next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Happy Wednesday to you right now. Still watching one crash on the far east side on I-70. This is in those westbound lanes just beyond State Route 256. Watch for crews clearing up a crash in the right shoulder. I'm 10TV's Amy Sagerwald with Fan Traffic.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Heading to work? Keep listening to the guys at the office.
Stream the show at 971thefan.com or download the Fan app.
This is Morning Juice.
This is Long here, Wednesday edition of the program. Brandon Bean, Bobby Carpenter, Mark the Shark. Right now we're heading out to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Check in with our good friend of the podcast. He is Bill Landis. Bill, thanks for the time, buddy. You survived WrestleMania, apparently. Did Austin, and how was that trip for you?
Yeah, we both survived. It was awesome. It was everything I think you kind of hoped it would be to drive all the way out there, you know, pay a little bit of a coin to get some nice seats. So our seats ended up being far better than we thought they would be. We were very close to the ramp, pretty close to the ring. I think Austin took it a little, or hit him a little harder than it hit me. He lost his voice, I think, but I'm feeling okay.
Are we going to be recovered in time enough to be able to cover the Buckeyes, you know, through the rest of the two practices? I know you're going to be at the coaching clinic tomorrow and then the spring game. Are we going to be in a good enough spot for that, Bill?
I'm good, Bob. I'm ready to roll.
How about
Austin?
I came back
energized. That's a different story. I'm not sure. We'll see, but I think he's on the mend.
Did you treat him to a shot and a beer, and how many times did you guys do that?
We didn't do a shot and a beer. I think we only did two. On the first night we got there, so we didn't get too crazy with that. But you know Austin, he likes to put them down, so he did not skip out on his beer opportunities.
Of course he doesn't. That's why we love him and we love you. So we got Buckeyes final two practices and then the spring game coming up here on Saturday. Bill, I've been asking everybody this week that we've been talking to Buckeyes with, when we get to 2:15, 2:30-ish on Friday afternoon, what will we be overreacting to the most as Ohio State fans after watching the spring game?
I think we'll be overreacting to Julian Sain. And, you know, it'll be interesting how Ryan Day chooses to use him in this game. Because I'm not sitting here saying that I think he's got a tremendous chance of being Ohio State's starting quarterback next year. But depending on how things shake it after spring, he could certainly find himself in position to be QB2 going into the fall. So that makes him interesting. But I just think the way that he throws the ball for a young player, for a true freshman, is different than everybody else in the room. Now, that doesn't mean that he's necessarily ready to start. There's a lot more that goes into that. But just in terms of being a natural kind of thrower of the football, I think Julian Sain is probably the best guy in that room right now. And there's going to be an opportunity for that to be on display on Saturday. So I will probably, if that happens, I will take that and say, like, man, the future is really bright at quarterback at Ohio State. It seems like they have their guy for the future. But I can totally see a scenario where people see that and go, this guy should be starting in the fall. So I think if he plays well on Saturday and is given the opportunities to do so, he will give people a lot to overreact to.
That'll be pretty impressive. Anybody on the defensive side that you think could be of particular interest that you're watching in this game, Bill?
Yeah, it's hard, Bob, because like I really want to watch C.J. Hicks and Sonny Styles at linebacker, but I don't know I would imagine they're going to be doing a lot of thud tempo, maybe not tackling all that much. I don't know how much blitzing those guys might do in the spring game. So maybe it won't end up being the best showcase for them. It probably makes more sense to maybe focus on the secondary a little more. I want to watch Caleb Downs run around. I'm excited to watch Jermaine Matthews play and see what kind of growth he's made, because I imagine we're not going to see a whole lot of Denzel Burks, so I think we could see a decent amount of Jermaine. And then, you know, there's a young guy at safety too, Jaden Bonsu, who's, I think, been making the most of some opportunities with Lathan Ransom and Malik Cardford on the shelf. They need guys to play back there in the secondary, and Jaden Bonsu, at least from what we saw earlier in the spring, has kind of been that guy, and he's pretty physically impressive, and to hear McGarry talk about him, it sounds like that Jaden's picking up the defense a little better, kind of understanding the details of that position a little more. So it sounds like it's starting to come together for him. So I'm curious to see what he might look like on Saturday too.
He is Bill Landis with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Bill, I mean, linebacker wise, I mean, we know it's CJ Hicks. We got Gabe Powers in there. Sonny making the transition from safety down to linebacker. I mean, just overall that room, kind of where do you assess it outside of those three guys? Like Cody Simon as well, obviously in there.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good room. I think it's the level of athleticism in that room is probably as good as it's been as long as I've been covering the team, which is 10 years now. When you include CJ and Sonny and Arvell Reese is a freak out there, man. Like I don't know how well just yet Arvell like might understand the finer points of playing linebacker, but you know, see ball, get ball kind of deal. I think he'd be all right doing that. So there's a lot of speed there. There's a lot of, you know, length there. I think a lot of playmaking potential there. I'm excited to see kind of how James lets those guys cut it loose. We did not see the linebackers blitz a whole lot last year. Definitely saw them blitz a lot in Jim Knowles' first year. And I am a little bit on alert to kind of see them get after it a little more this fall. Cody's a little different, I think, from the rest of that room. Just, you know, his physical profile is not quite the same, but he's the guy who I think understands the defense the best and is like a sound, just like reliable, steady linebacker, which I think can help balance out maybe some of the trade-off you might get with some of the younger, more inexperienced guys who have incredible athleticism, but maybe might put themselves in a bind from time to time, like trying to chase down plays. So I think they have a good mix there with the veteran Cody and then kind of all these young, athletic, exciting guys around him.
How much are you going to be looking at the right side of that offensive line? I know that that's something that has been a topic of conversation and a point or a place of magnification. Will that be something you're trying to lock in on? And what do you think you'll be able to garner from that? Because I'm guessing that JT and Jack probably won't be playing a ton.
Yeah, I don't think they'll play a ton either. So I guess you take whatever successes you might see with a little bit of a grain of salt. But I like Caden Curry and Kenyatta Jackson can pass rush okay. Mitchell Melton, I think, is a good pass rusher too. So it's not like those guys won't be tested. So I'm eager to watch Josh Fryer. Just can he pass block with a level of consistency that's maybe a little better than what we saw from him at the end of last year? And then just like who is playing on that side too, because it sounded like for maybe the first half of spring, a lot of the first team reps were just going to Josh Fryer at right tackle and Luke Montgomery at right guard. And then as spring has sort of gone on here, you hear more about Tegra sliding in there at right tackle, maybe Josh Fryer playing some more guard, the centers Carson Hinsman and Seth McLaughlin maybe getting into that guard mix as well. So maybe just how much of an open door it is there for guys to show that they're ready to take over those spots is probably what I'm most interested in, because I started the spring thinking it would be pretty robust and open competition, and then sort of quickly changed my mind on that based off some of the things we saw and heard. But it does seem like now, as spring is getting close to wrapping up, that they are into the idea of really opening that up and you know, playing maybe four or five guys, six guys in those two spots to figure out what the best mix is. So I'll be curious to see if we see it play out that way on Saturday too.
Bill, before we get you out of here, Dallin Hayden entering the transfer portal, we know that. And then after we get done with this spring portion of the calendar, what's your anticipation of the second wave of the transfer portal opening up here for the Buckeyes?
Yeah, I mean, there'll be some movement, I'm sure. The thing about it is, like, they don't have to have a ton of movement in terms of scholarship numbers. Like, it's not a situation where they're way over and have to have some difficult conversations with guys to open some spots up. So maybe that helps it from being a mass exodus out of here. But, you know, I think you look at quarterback and see what happens there. If Ryan Day Les Will Howard and Devin Brown and Lincoln Kienholz know any sort of pecking order that might facilitate some movement. We'll see. I don't know that there's like spots on the roster that really like scream at me like they're going to lose guys here. Like maybe some in the secondary just because, you know, there's a lot of talent there and maybe guys don't see a way forward at Ohio State. So I'm expecting some because I'm not naive to the current climate of college football. We've seen Dallin Hayden so far, as you said, and you know I wouldn't be surprised if that number gets to, you know, 5 or 6 maybe by the time that second portal window closes.
Bill, always appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on with us here this morning. Glad you survived WrestleMania. Glad you treated Austin to a good weekend, even though he hasn't recovered yet. Have a great rest of the week, buddy. Enjoy the spring game Saturday, and we'll check in again soon, all right?
Sounds good. Talk to you guys later.
There he goes. Bill Landis, the podcast, Dotting the Ice with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We're going to reveal our fan poll next. Morning Juice right here on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. Right now, we're just tracking one crash on the far east side on I-70 westbound. The right shoulder slightly blocked off in those westbound lanes of 70 just beyond State Route 256. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with Fan Traffic.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keep on swiping that card, baby. Keep on swiping that card. Charge it to winning. This is Morning Juice.
Wrapping things up here. Wednesday edition of the program. Brandon B., Bobby Carpenter, Mark Shark, and we here on The Juice are brought to you by our good friends over at Affinity Whole Healthy Leader in Testosterone and Hormone Replacement Therapy. Always visit them on the line. FeelGreatColumbus.com. Uncle Bo and the boys going to be up after we're done. Actually, I've made an executive decision. We're going to go until noon today. Shark. Ooh. So three more hours for you until vacation. Is that all right with you?
It's all right as long as I can still play Mandy Moore.
All I know is you're beautiful.
It's one of Shark's favorite movies.
There's a song that's inside.
So sad.
My soul. I mean, Shark, don't be sad that it's over. Be happy for the time that we had. It's
Thank you for the journey, Mandy. She died of cancer, Bob. Spoil alert.
It's crazy. She died of dementia
in real life. Yeah.
This is us. I mean, hopefully her real life death goes better than what she's got in the movies.
I wish you the best of luck.
She's younger than me.
This is great.
Oh, yeah. This was 90s.
It's been a hot minute since I've watched A Walk to Remember.
Oh, yeah. What? I mean, you couldn't have seen that live.
No. Yeah, I was 10 years old.
Seriously?
Yeah, it came out in 2002.
Okay.
I didn't see it when it came out, but I've seen it.
But on her deathbed, he gave her a telescope to look at the stars.
There
her boyfriend.
Go.
Was it an eclipse that day?
I don't know where it was. I don't know where it was supposed to be. But they're like, you know, she had a list of like 10 things being that she wanted to do, or I don't know what the number was, Shark. I always like one of the more specific things was like being some, I don't know how she created this list, being two places at once. And so he took her to the state line and like sort of straddled the state line. I'm like, yeah. Okay.
That's an iconic scene.
I give him an A+ for effort.
Yeah.
It was a great little date movie back in the day.
On Rotten Tomatoes, this film has an approval rating of 27%. You know, an average rating of 4.2.
That was because her classmates were so mean to her because she was a good, wholesome Christian girl, and they were like mean girls.
There's another movie about that called Mean Girls.
I know.
They're making a Mean Girls too, by the way.
Are they?
Yeah.
Man.
Maybe they already made it?
I think they did already make it. I think Chop's already reviewed it.
Yeah, I think it's already.
I haven't seen it, but I'm in. At some point, I'll knock that off the list.
I loved Mean Girls.
The Parent Trap was on, I think, like, I don't know what. Like, remember, there used to be the Family Channel, and then they've rebranded it to some other name.
No. Mean Girls 2, this says it came out in 2011. That's not right.
That's not the same Mean Girls. There was another remake of Mean Girls that came out way more recently.
Meaner Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, the official trailer, 2024. So okay, it must so have just out. Came out.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Who's in it?
I don't know if they reprised their roles. I think, is Lilo back in that thing?
Ooh.
Mean Girls, the new one. New movie. Here we go. searching frantically. Let's see here. Demantha, directed by some. Oh, it's got what's her name in it.
what's her, the old what's her name?
No, it's sounding my mom. It's Regina George. Renee Rapp is back reprising her role.
Oh, Tina Fey's in it. Lindsay Lohan is in it.
Yeah. They got Tina Fey back. Dude, Tina Fey is awesome in Mean Girls.
John Hamm is in it.
She's like, hey, come on. Like, they made whatever rumor they made up about her being some sort of loose woman. Like, Tim Meadows back. Oh, they made something about them. John Hamm, this is going to be great.
The Parent Trap was on the Family Channel last night, and I was so close to turning it on, but I instead went over it and went to the Crew game instead. Oh, but I was close to turning the Parent Trap on.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's a solid one. I mean,
he's Quaid and rest in peace. His wife in that movie.
Did she just pass away?
No. Who's this?
Oh gosh! It's
Did you see who else is in this?
Liam Neeson's wife,
Natasha Richardson.
Thank you,
Liam Neeson's. Hey,
Liam Neeson.
Jenna Fisher's in it too, Beam.
Oh, all right, I'm in. Good.
Pam from The Office.
Did it already come out?
It's unknown, Beam. Unknown. see if we can find your 2024. I'm looking for Chops. You said reviewed it. I think that is accurate. Oh no, I'm trying to find a hard release date on here.
January 8th of 2024. So it's been out for 3 months.
That's good. It's probably almost to streaming.
So. It probably is on streaming somewhere. Maybe I'll watch that this weekend. Sandwich in between the Masters.
Yeah. This is good. Regina George, get it in, loser. I'm excited for this.
Shark, how much did Megan like watching those movies? I mean, I feel like that was probably right in her wheelhouse.
I think Megan got me to watch Parent Trap.
Okay. It's a good one.
Yeah.
When they put her out in the raft in the lake, that's fun.
Can you get your son now to get Jude on the lacrosse field?
Probably not, Bob. Doctors know more than we do.
He's
I know
a
you
dentist,
think you know
dude.
More.
And he ripped out a
dentist
tooth.
Dennis is a doctor. He's an orthodontist. He went to school for 8 years.
What is this, The Hangover?
Come on,
Stu,
man.
You're a dentist.
I mean, I wish they would have had Rachel McAdams play Regina again. Yes. How that didn't happen is
she's
an epic
the best.
Fail.
Yeah, she's
she
the
was
best.
A terrific
I don't know
girl.
If I've ever had a bigger movie crush than Rachel McAdams in Wedding Crashers.
Yeah,
maybe Rachel McAdams in The Notebook. Hello.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good one, too, Shark. Speaking of chick flicks, that's
Tear
a
jerker.
Solid one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is that the one with Ryan Gosling?
Yeah, it came out like 2004.
It had the big scene in the rain.
Yes.
Yeah, it's great.
Madonna went on tour today, the Virgin Tour, her first one. Who opened for them?
Beastie Boys,
which honestly, that's a little deal I could get behind. And that sounds pretty solid there.
Little combo platter of the Beastie Boys and Madonna. Shark, so you're leaving tomorrow at 6:15. You're heading out to Vegas. You're doing Death Valley.
Yep.
Anywhere else that you're going? Any more national parks?
Going to Page, Arizona. Going to see Horseshoe Bend. Going to see Antelope Canyon, do a few things there. Maybe
I've never seen a straight horseshoe.
Maybe even kayak on Lake Powell.
Oh,
there we
and
go.
Then back to Vegas for 4 days.
By the way, the best Regina George is when she is in Southpaw. That is one of my favorites.
I've never seen Southpaw.
Oh, that is a must watch for you this weekend.
Okay.
If you want to watch a movie where you will drink heavily during it,
like but you, there is like you and Eastern Promises.
It's a little Eastern Promises-esque.
Trudge, die?
But it has an American-style ending where it gives you some uplifting elements. It's not like a Blow or an Eastern Promises where it feels so promising.
Yeah, but Blow, at least at some points, was like entertaining
and
fun.
Yeah, but watching a guy, I can't. Blow came out like 20 years ago, and I want to go watch it again. And I forgot how bad, like the ending, it's not bad, it's just sad.
Yeah, it is.
It's factual.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
When Ray Liotta finds out that his mom has to call the cops.
Oh,
call the cops
my
on.
Gosh.
It's brutal.
Dude, it's so bad. Kick it.
Kick it!
But Southpaw, I remember watching it, Beam. I could not drink enough to keep to keep my spirits
was this
up.
Was this a COVID watch for you?
Oh, my God. Yes, it is really.
Yeah, COVID drinking was a whole different
really,
animal.
It is really good. Jake Gyllenhaal is phenomenal in it. 50 Cent is a terrible human. Oh my gosh. It is, Beeman, it's like the story of Rocky.
All right.
But then it kind of goes like all through the Rocky, except
if it went wrong.
There's some real low points in it.
All right. Southpaw.
Oh my gosh.
I'll give it a watch.
Just make sure you have a a full bottle.
If I need a big
He'll
bottle.
He'll be like crying and yelling at the TV at the end. Oh, it was so good. It was good.
Our daily fan poll is sponsored by ER Auto Care, masters of our craft. Today's fan poll at 971thefan.com or on Twitter at 971thefan. Tiger Woods hasn't missed a cut at the Masters since 1996. Will he miss the cut this week? Yes or no? It is split 50-50 right down the middle. I say he makes the cut. I think he's going to get there.
I'm gonna actually throw a couple shekels on that.
I think he's going to make the cut. I think he's been around that place more than anybody, and he is one of that place just as much as anybody. General had so much fun today. What do you say we do it again tomorrow on a big Thursday if they allow us? You good with that?
Yeah. Let's do it. Sorry, I'm just reading the storyline here. It's so good.
Everybody have a great day. Sharky, have a great vacation, all right? Enjoy it. I'm sure we'll be texting you and bothering you while you're on vacation, even though it'll be like 3 o'clock in the morning. Uncle Bo and the boys are up next. We're back live tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. to break everything down. Have a good one. Talk to you then. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. Right now, we're still tracking one crash over on the east side. This is on I-70 westbound, just beyond State Route 256. The right shoulder slightly blocked off over there as crews work to clear up a crash from earlier this morning. I'm 10TV's Amy Sagerwald with Fan Traffic.
This is a Fan Action Update.
This Action Update is brought to you by Tipico. Gambling promo code 1-800-GAMBLER. Last time we saw 15-time major champion Tiger Woods was a few months ago when he withdrew at Riviera. He will be competing this week at the Masters. He's 100-1 to win, and he is minus 111 to make the cut, minus 125 to miss the cut. He's scheduled to tee off at 124 tomorrow with Jason Day and Max Homa. For your Tipico Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan. Center.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The Columbus Crew made some history last night. For the first time, they're off to the semifinals of the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Crew beat Mexican pro club Tigres in a shootout in the second leg of their quarterfinal matchup in Monterrey. Diego Rossi tied things at 1 in the 59th minute, and the Crew won in a shootout 4-3. Columbus will play either Inter-Miami or Monterrey in the semifinals later this month. Crew are back to MLS play this weekend. Columbus is at Real Salt Lake Saturday night at 9:30. On the ice last night in Tampa, the Lightning beat the Blue Jackets 5-2. Steven Stamkos had a hat trick in that win. Jackets are at the Panthers on Thursday. Only 3 more games remain for Columbus this season. And in baseball last night, the Brewers beat the Reds in Cincinnati 9-5, while in Cleveland, the White Sox took down the Guardians 7-5. This update is sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, give Dr. Mark Levy a call at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP or visit him online at sleepbettercologne.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.